That boy, oh, he ain't even vote for city councilman. God dog, man.
They can't find me. Hey, bro, you never know when they might be looking for you, so I'm trying to stay low-key as possible.
Kanye West?
You say what?
You gonna vote for Kanye?
Man, Kanye is not gonna even be on the ballot, bro. I don't even know why Kanye come to be our president in the 11th hour. That dude ain't even eligible for this election, man.
He ain't. Is he not old enough, is he?
No, all you gotta be is what, 35? I think all you gotta be is 35.
But, I mean, you know, there's certain requirements you gotta meet in order to get on the ballot by a certain time. I don't think he's done it. I don't even know if he can run for an independent. Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain rules in place you gotta be in by a certain time in order to get votes with the Electoral College and all that. Like, that dude ain't did none of that.
Could you imagine a kind of political act? TB.
Yay! Yay!
Oh, man. Just walking around. Like, I'm famous, but I don't know why I so vote for my husband. That would be wild.
You know what? You just got an answer, Sway. You got coming out, bro.
As crazy.
You got the answer, Sway.
As crazy as it sounds, don't underestimate what his wife can get done, man. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
Nah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. She's a great marketer. She's a great marketer.
I ain't
you mean you mean his mother-in-law.
I don't follow them. It could be money, whatever, but like, I mean, you'd be surprised.
Donald Trump is the president. Nothing should surprise you at this point.
And you know she a billionaire right now too. She a billionaire.
Damn.
Yeah,
right.
The other day. Anyway.
My sister being there too.
Hey, man, I got a I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna make a, hey, make a bold we were cool. proclamation. Yeah, I know. So I'm gonna predict the Sacramento Kings will make the a play-in game. Like the little play-in tournament. Sacramento Kings gonna make it.
They didn't go.
Yes, sir.
Nah, they didn't go. Oh no!
What?
He's about to what? Sacramento didn't go up three.
Sacramento Kings gonna make. They gonna play. They gonna play Memphis in the play-in game.
That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting,
see, bro.
Man, there's been a lot going on in sports. What y'all think about Cam? Oh, Cam. What y'all think about Cam going to New England, man? Is that a y'all like it for Cam?
I think it'll be all right, bro. he ain't getting paid nothing, but I think it'll be all right. Well, I'm more interested to see, like, even if he ball out, will they re-sign him? You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know how much they like Stidham.
Because the seven and a half million, that's after incentives, right? That's his top.
Yeah,
number.
That's the most he can make. So he out here making less than cats that ain't seen the field in like 4 years and been back up the whole time.
Man, that boy wish he made as much as like AJ McCarron or somebody, bro.
I think he's gonna ball out though. I think that'll be good. I think they'll go farther than most people predict. They probably go like second round. Maybe an AFC Championship game.
Why
they get the
ball out. What makes you think that?
He was balling out before he got hurt, bro. Like, I know that it sounds like a long time ago. But it was really 2018. And what they was playing, they was playing Pittsburgh. It was either Sunday night or Monday night. It might have been Thursday night. It was one of the primetime games. They was like 6-2. And Cam was in the MVP discussion. And he had already hurt his foot. His foot was already hurt. And then that's when TJ Watt hit him and messed the shoulder up. Yeah. So, and then he tried – I think he even tried to play like a game or two after that.
For sure. He been
with a messed up shoulder.
Yeah. Probably got that one-year deal. It's because he been
– Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, if he basically took last year off, you know what I'm saying? He basically took all of last year. I think he only played like two games. He been having this whole summer to get healthy. So, I mean, shit, if they talking about bringing Colin Kaepernick back for a possible chance to be on the NFL team. Hell, Cam got more film than him.
Colin Kaepernick, bro. They need to chill with that. But let's do a comparison, right? So compare what he had in Carolina to what he now has in New England.
It's the same. Name a receiver from Carolina. He better than everything Camden had. Besides Steve Smith, I give you that. Besides Steve Smith, Muhammad Sanu better than everything Camden ever had. Everybody thought Kelvin Benjamin was good, but we found out the verdict on that.
So who the other receiver for New England? Muhammad Sanu and who else?
Julian Edelman.
Edelman. Who the tight end?
Nobody.
Shit. You?
Because he pretty much always had a good tight end, right?
He had Greg Olsen.
Yeah,
that's solid. But
they got a rookie, N'Keal Harry. They're expecting him to do a little something. He was all right last year, but they're expecting him to grow.
You asked,
but yeah, like you said, they ain't got no, tight end.
So Josh McDaniels still the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
He took Tim Tebow to the playoffs. So I guess he can do it with Cam.
Hey, dude, listen, this is one thing you got to consider. In New England, they always got the cheat code. I don't get quiet now. Don't get quiet.
They do have the left, right, X triangle square inner. They have it. They got that. Ain't gonna lie to you.
They got that.
You know, they got all the Mario codes.
Filming the Bengals. First of all, who films the Bengals, bro?
This is the point. This is the thing about New England, bro. It don't matter who you are. They gonna try to get every single advantage they can, bro. It's not about the Bengals. It's about the Patriots, dog. You can't knock
them. Bro. They gonna cheat against the comments, man.
I don't see nothing special. Who is his tight end? Is Matt? I don't even know how to pronounce his last name.
Matt Lacoste.
Yeah, he only had 13 receptions last year.
Bro, they don't have a tight end, I'm telling you. I think last year they tight end was Benjamin Watson, wasn't it? I think he was their tight end last year for a little bit. They need to go call Martellus. What? Let me go get Martellus Bennett out of time. That's about it. Where Jimmy Grant? Huh?
Y'all don't think that it's a good opportunity for a new let me take it from this perspective. In terms of what it could mean to both sides for the future, in terms of Cam and New England, do you think it's a good look? And I'm thinking from Cam's perspective, he did like Malcolm was saying, he did play really well in 2018, or there was a portion of 2018 and he was playing really well, then the injury started to kind of take its toll on him. And before that, he had kind of been falling off since 2015 when Carolina went to the Super Bowl. And then he played like I think one or two games this past season before he got released. Oh, I guess he made it through the entire season, then he got released this offseason. But
yeah. I didn't give
an opinion on either side. I'm just saying, could it be beneficial in some ways, for either side?
I should have
told y'all what I think. Man,
it'll be beneficial if he go out there and ball out, right? It'll be beneficial for him because I think he can still – I mean, what, he 31, 32?
I believe.
So he can still get – a big contract. I don't think it'll be with New England. I think New England just thinks, like, with the pandemic and them not being able to do OTAs and stuff like that, they don't think they have enough time to get Jarrett Stidham up to speed, like where they want him to be. So I think they have Cam there to kind of give him a little bit more time. But
they want
to
get who up to speed?
Jarrett Stidham.
Who is that, bro?
You don't know Jarrett
Stidham. Come on, dog. You don't know who Jarrett Stidham is?
You don't know Stitt? And then he
played at Baylor. He played at Auburn.
He wasn't very
good. He was better at Baylor than he was at Auburn to me.
Did he play at Baylor under the new coach?
Yeah. He played under.
He might have been there 1 year.
Nah, he played under Art Briles, and then when everything happened with all that,
he left.
And I think it was I'm trying to think of the quarterback's name. Jarrett Stidham ended up getting in as the starting QB at Baylor because they had like quarterback injuries, and the quarterback they had, I cannot think of his name, but I'm pretty sure he ended up going to the Jets. He was like really good, but he got hurt, and I think the
you ain't talking about Bryce Petty, is you?
That might be who it was. It was
I think Bryce Petty finished and graduated and everything.
I can't remember who it was.
Petty hard, like he was the man.
Who? Bryce Petty was nice, bro. He graduated my wife actually. Well, I take that back. His brother graduated with my wife.
But this
settlement cat, he played for Malzahn at Auburn. He was a starter. Yeah. He was solid.
He was there. I think he was there 2 years. He was there like he did his redshirt junior year. He was good, and then this past year, he was all right. Come on, bro.
They didn't beat him.
Come on, dog.
Only Cam Newton.
Nah, I don't think so.
Cam Newton and a running back that had a quarterback called Nick Marshall.
Boy, y'all got so much faith in him. Y'all being sarcastic.
I'm not being. No. I'm not saying I have. I'm saying New England has faith in him. So I'm saying New England. Bro, they telling you about their actions. Actions speak louder than words, bro. They didn't draft a quarterback in the draft. They didn't really go sign a quarterback in free agency.
Why bring in Cam Newton?
They signed him for 5 cents. But Bill Belichick ain't gonna tank for Trevor Lawrence. So I believe they do believe in him. But they just don't think without the
he gonna start over Cam Newton?
No, hell no.
I think he has an opportunity to start over Cam Newton for the simple fact that we are in the middle of a pandemic. And generally, if you sign with a team this late in the offseason, like literally like Cam is signing like maybe like 3 weeks to a month before training camp, he barely had time to start learning the playbook, right, versus Jarrett Stidham. This would be, what, his second year in the system? Second year in the system. You know, he done had a one full complete offseason to learn, and then a full season under a guy who's been running this offense for the last 20 years, and Tom Brady. I would think it's probably, you know, easy to make the jump that he probably has a better understanding of the offense right now than Cam Newton does. So, and you take that with the fact that there's a shorter preseason. Like, does the NFL preseason only be 2 weeks this year as opposed to normally is like 4 weeks? I think I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up starting over Cam, unless when Cam came in, New England said, you're going to be the starting quarterback, which somehow I don't see.
This is why I say I don't think they will start.
I was going to say with the preseason games, though, like the starters only play like the last 2 weeks anyway. So, I don't see him as much different from –
Well, I mean, you have, like, more practice time, right?
More reps, I guess.
Yeah, you have more reps, more time to see what he's capable of. And really with Cam, I think you know what Cam can do. He's already got a body of work out there that shows you what he can do. What you're going to be mainly focused on is his ability to command your offense and your scheme. And the more time he has – in your organization, meaning at your practice facility, meeting with your coaches, the better grasp of the organization, the better grasp of your scheme and your playbook that he will have. And I mean, like talent wise, I think Cam obviously is more talented, but I just think Jarrett Stidham, just as of right now, just out of pure longevity in the organization, has a leg up. And I wouldn't be surprised if he started for a week or two, just in his. It's only simply because of the times that we're in with the pandemic and all of that. There's only so much you can do as a coach with a player through these different video chat systems. I mean, you know, Cam, he probably already got a
contract. Is Belichick and McDaniel not adjust their playbook to Cam Newton at all?
See, that's what I was going to say. So, I'm going to tell you why I don't think Jarrett Stidham will start over Cam, and then I'm going to kick that question, y'all. So, this is why. I don't think there's a scenario where you can start Jarrett Stidham and then bring Cam into the starting lineup. Because if you do, then that's kind of telling everybody that Jarrett Stidham's not good enough. And then how can you go if, like, let's say at the end of the season, how can you go back to Stidham? You know what I mean?
Like I just,
there's a reason, huh?
Like I just told you.
I know you said because of the time. No, you didn't. You.
I did say. Reason I could see Jared Stidham starting over Cam initially is just nothing, not talent, not nothing to do with that. Just simply, he understands the offense at this point better than what Cam Newton probably does, just based on the fact that he's been in the Patriots organization. That is just as simple. That's just how I view it. I can see and just with the times that we're in right now, the schedule is changing up a little bit. You don't necessarily have the depth in terms of days to make a judgment like you would have last season. Say, okay, we're gonna give him 6 weeks. We're gonna really see what's rocking out. You know, preseason starting, everything's a little bit more condensed because of the pandemic. So you got to be able to make that decision quickly. At least that's
how I get what Malcolm's saying, though, because it's kind of like, you know, how are you going to, first of all, start with this guy, then you bring in Cam. I mean, I know we're talking about Bill Belichick here, but, you know, these new players in today's times, you know, you got to worry about the ego and stroke the ego. Like, once you bench him, how you going to bring him back and crown him and say, okay, now you're the guy, now you're ready.
I think Bill Belichick. I would say Bill Belichick probably
do. Yeah, Bill Belichick could do it. That's for sure. But right. I would say, regardless of who started, I think they're gonna tweak their playbook anyway. Now we all know Stidham's not the runner that Cam is or Cam was. We don't know if Cam's still gonna run like that or not. But they did kind of grow up in the same offense in college. I mean, they had so they're still with that. It's like spread. Read option type offense. So I think regardless of whoever starts, they're going to have to tweak their playbook. It'll still be like the short passing game that they had with Brady there. But I think there will be a lot more misdirection, I would say, versus what Tom was there. And as long as –
a whole bunch of more sliding out of Cam Newton when you get back into the league.
I mean – oh, most definitely. most definitely. But I think, like I said, regardless of whoever starts, they're gonna change their playbook up, and they have the weapons. I think the weapons that they have fit Stidham, and this is gonna sound crazy, but I think it fits Stidham and Newton better than Brady, because you think about the running backs, they have James White and they have Sony Michel. They're not your lineup 7 yards behind the quarterback like Adrian Peterson, just run through holes. I don't want to call them gadget players, but they're more out in space type people. Kind of like a Christian McCaffrey, but not on that level, obviously. And Edelman's a little, in space guy. So I think their weapons will fit their style better than what it did with Brady. But I mean, Brady is Brady. He makes weapons whatever he has works. But
weapons don't.
What'd you say?
The weapons don't fit the quarterback. The weapons are there to fit the system.
No, I'm saying when they change the system to this more spread misdirection style offense, I think those pieces that they have in place is going.
Oh, okay. So what? I thought you were saying like make some small changes. Like, I can guarantee you, New England not about to change their whole offense just because Cam Newton.
No, I'm saying regardless, Cam or Jared. Like,
no, I'm saying they not about to change their whole offense. Now they may add some wrinkles. You may see Cam roll out more or do some more things, getting the quarterback out of the pocket.
I think they will because the line wasn't that great either last year.
But that's not changing your scheme. That's just changing putting some few wrinkles. But I understand what you're saying. I got a question for y'all, right? Related to this, and this was what I was thinking. Do y'all see any bit possible benefit to this for Cam?
I think besides getting another contract.
Yeah, if he ball out, if he stay healthy. He can get another contract from another team, or I doubt it's New England because they ain't gonna break.
Yeah, I don't think New England gonna re-sign him, but I think he
has a chance to.
Unfortunately, this is like I hate to say it because of his age and what he's been, but I think this is his last chance to either break the bank or go home. To be honest,
this is his last chance because he's black.
It could be possible too. I mean, Nathan Peterman getting them checks.
No. I'm not talking about Adrian Peterson. I'm talking.
I said Nathan Peterman.
But I say it because Cam Newton is black. This is his last opportunity.
Nah, I don't think it's because he's black. I think it's because of the type of player he is and how he feels about himself as a player. I don't think Cam Newton's the type of person to come in and say, "Oh, I'm gonna hold a clipboard, I'm gonna be a team guy, be a backup and be ready to play." I don't think that's in his nature. So I just think that if he's not able to make it as a starter, he just gonna retire.
I'm not saying that that he'll retire or anything like that. He may not get. I mean, he'll play next year. No, I mean, I don't see any Cam getting out of here anytime soon.
Nah, he'll be in Jacksonville next year.
I think even if Cam Newton doesn't per se, like, if he's not the all-star that he was before, but let's just say he's decent, he's serviceable, right? I think that he still will get contract offers to come in and be a backup or something like that. But I don't think that's in his personality. I don't think
he'll be a starter next year in Jacksonville.
Look at Ryan Tannehill.
What about Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, Ryan Tannehill ain't never been even in the same category as Cam Newton.
Okay.
Nope. He had a hot 3 weeks. He lost
out on to whoever they put in his position.
It's Magic.
But he lost his position in Miami. Came to
Tennessee
as a backup.
Didn't do nothing.
Sort of stunk it up though.
Derrick Henry was toting that thing. They won a couple playoff games, and Ryan Tannehill got buku bread.
That's poor management though. That's not on Tannehill.
I'm not knocking Tannehill.
But here's the thing. That exact same scenario that you gave with Tannehill, right? He left Miami. He went to Tennessee as a backup. I don't see Cam Newton doing that. Cam Newton's not going to a team as a backup. That's part of the reason why he probably was unsigned for so long, because he didn't want to be a backup.
No, a lot of it was because when fucking Carolina released him, bro. They released him late in the game. They did him dirty. But I got a question. Yeah. So did y'all hear about the announcer saying that he can't be dabbing and he can't be doing all his celebrations and stuff? What do y'all think about that? The New England radio host?
Why can't he do that?
It's the Patriot way. What do you mean?
Come on, bro.
Hey, but they got all kind of clips. They got a clip showing that where Bill Belichick said he wants you to be excited when you do something good. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, celebrate after you get touchdowns. He spikes the ball and all that him and Gronk. Like,
get all that yellow.
That's a dumb take.
So why were you in the NFL? Right, we all know about how they jacked up, how they handle the situation with Colin Kaepernick a few years back. And then Roger Goodell came out a few weeks ago. You know, he jumped on an I'm woke bandwagon. And all of a sudden he said, "Oh, I'm realizing now that, you know, it had nothing to do with the flag." I just wanted to tell you, Mr. Goodell, Roger, listen to me. Get close to the camera. He told you that He told you that. But that's what you're getting on there, right? So, if y'all don't know now, and man, I had my notes and I forgot them. Oh, I don't know what I did with them. But now the NFL, at least for week one for sure, they're going to play the Black National Anthem.
This is a great topic right here, boy.
For all you fake, all of a sudden woke black people who all of a sudden 40 years old, and this year Juneteenth supposed to be a holiday. Now, you ain't never said nothing about it before. This year you ain't celebrating the 4th. Most of y'all probably have no idea that Lift Every Voice and Sing exists.
Right. Hey, hold on, Greg.
He's elementary school. Greg, here's my question, Greg. First, Greg, what do you think of this move? Is this the right thing to do? Well, I shouldn't say the right thing. What do you think of this move in terms of social reform in the NFL?
hold on, hey, Greg. Let me ask you a question real quick.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you know the damn song is what I want to know?
To be honest, no. I don't know the song. I might know parts of the That's about it.
Y'all think
they my wife
actually. Yeah, they're gonna start. Oh, trust me.
They sang it at her high school. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
So I mean, it's just about exposure. But I mean, to answer your question,
HBCU.
We ain't sing it like that. Just keeping it 100. We did. But to answer your question, man, it's kind of in line with everything else going on around the country as far as these other judges. Like, who asked for that? Anybody asked them to do that? You know, it's like, that's not solving.
Who asked for a statue to come down to get black people, to end systemic racism? It's the same people who said the statue's got to come down. That's at the top of their list. That's the people who asked for
it. It's crazy, man. Because, I mean, how you going, you know, in one vein, you know, when Kaepernick was doing this protest, he was telling everybody, it's not about the anthem. Then why are you bringing it back to the anthem? Now you adding the Negro National Anthem? It's like, come on, man. It's not about the anthem. Like, I don't understand, you know. It's just, like I said, it shows a diversity in the decision-making room. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. I mean, a nice try, I guess, but it's not really going to solve anything.
So
this ain't a nice try.
Hold up. This is what I'm going to say. So, are people going to stand for the Negro National Anthem then kneel for the, American National Anthem?
Oh, that's exactly
what they're going to do. Boy, NFL is about to be canceled. NFL is about to be canceled. NFL is about to be canceled. Hey, baseball praying for this because the NFL about to be canceled. That shit. Oh, NASCAR woke. NASCAR about to become number one sport in America. NASCAR is woke. NASCAR ain't trying none of that.
The NFL and the U.S. government, they politicized this whole anthem thing and then sports and all that. It's a made up thing. They need to just stop airing it, bro. Like, it's not. But why?
I don't think they aired it before 9/11. Matter of fact, I take that back. I don't think they did it before 9/11. Or if they did, the players weren't even on the field.
Right. So, like, so why?
The whole thing is political, really.
So, let me say a couple things on this topic. One, Roger Goodell, I wish I had a drop for this. And I'm going to give you the Pimp C drop. Get up off the boo-boo. Right, brother, let me tell you in how many ways this don't make sense. Number one, are y'all going to even have fans at NFL game? So who the hell he going to play for? Play in the locker room. He's like, well, hell, we can play it this year because ain't none of the people who really
ain't nobody else gonna be offended. Huh?
Just play it in the locker room, pump it over the PA speaker in the locker room, and keep it pushing. I mean, Roger, come on, man, get up off the boo boo, bro. Get up off the boo boo, Roger. Now, I don't want to tell you how to do your job. I'm not a commissioner. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but. I would think that if you were really about that life, you want to do some social reform, you might want to figure out a good way to address how to get more black people in the front of office and how to get more blacks legitimate coaching interviews, you know, like something they've been asking you about. Or are you gonna wait another 5 years and say, you know what? We should have been trying to get more blacks in front of office jobs and get them legitimate interviews like they asked about it 10 years ago. Because I'm just realizing, ain't no damn body asked me to play the goddamn black national anthem. Nobody asked for that. Nobody.
That's why they're giving them third-round picks. And you get a third-round pick, you hire a black person.
Get up off the boo-boo, Roger. Well, while we at it, by the way, the Rooney Rule, we going to get in that bag one day. I want to get in that bag one day with y'all about hiring practices. And coaches, because I know most of the time it's concentrated. People talk about the NFL level, but I can make an argument that it goes all the way down to the high school level. We ain't gonna get in that bag today. I'm just saying.
Have y'all ever had experience hiring somebody?
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah, I didn't find a car. I'd have had to smoke a couple people myself.
Not at all.
Hey, man, I want to talk about my boy. But y'all can keep going.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know what that – Roger, you got to get rid of that. But while we on Roger, go ahead, Mal.
Nah, y'all good. Y'all got it.
While we on the NFL, Washington, it's fine. It seemed like they finally about to do the right thing. Finally about to get rid of that daggum. The Washington NFL team about to get rid of that name. Do y'all think
you know why?
Y'all think they're actually gonna change? Yeah, I do know why. But do y'all think they're actually gonna change?
When your gear ain't being sold on Nike.com. When your arena sponsor tell you they ain't gonna give you no more money, you ain't got no choice. So yeah, I mean, eventually it's going to change. And what is it going to change to? I'm not sure. But I mean, it's come on, man.
The Washington Redskins,
the Redskins, and you got a depiction of a red-faced man as your logo.
You're not Native American. You can't use that term. Offended by that term?
What do you mean?
I'm describing.
Hey, low key, I got Washington on Madden, bro, and I moved ass to Houston, made the Houston Oilers now. they about to change whether Dan Snyder wants to or not. Shefty and all them are already kind of – they've reporting that it might even be changed for this season. I don't know how they're going to do it with the uniforms and all that stuff, but it's going to change. And I think either Dan Snyder going to change it or we about to have a situation like the Clippers where they get him up out of there and get a new one in, and then he change it. But one way or the other, it's about to change, and I think it's going to be this season.
I bet y'all $1,000 each. That once they change it, the Redskins. I said it.
You're not Native American.
I'm not. I want to say I have been. If you go look at some of the podcasts me and Tweety was doing a few years back, I was like intentionally saying the football team in Washington. I was not using that term. Once I really understood what it meant, I had no idea. I mean, I'm not Native American, and I had never really heard of it as being a slur. But what I was saying is watch Washington come out and start and after they change their name or after they come up with something and say, with the climate of what's going on, you know, thought about it, we just realized that money didn't mean enough to us. And we're woke now and we hear you. We told you. They been telling you, man. What do you mean?
They been telling you that. Somebody put out there the Washington Red Tails, like as a to commemorate,
like an homage
to the you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The fighter pilots back in World
War. That's cool. So, I mean, what's they thing now? The pigs, so the Washington piggies. I don't know. It don't matter. They're not good anyway, so ain't nobody gonna be paying attention to them.
That's an NFL team, right? Do y'all think that this should go as far down as sports, because we all know that there's high school team. I mean, everybody knows.
I'm gonna say
Spruce the Timberwolves. You know what I'm saying? Spruce High School.
Do y'all think this should travel all the way down, like even to you?
Yeah, I was about to say. That's what I was about to say. I don't know how many high school teams have that name, but I know
a ton.
You really? I haven't really come across none.
No, I'm sorry. Not that particular name. There are
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that particular name.
But I'm talking about in terms of using any sort of Native American name.
Yeah. There's a ton of those.
Or whatever. Should they all go away? Because my understanding,
I think they should, unless you get explicit permission from those folks. And also, too, I think monetarily some of your proceeds should be going to help them people if you're using their name like that.
So you're talking about teams that's called, like, the Comanches?
Or even, like, the Florida State Seminoles.
I think
– Seminoles, the Tribe, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Okay in that.
I think Florida State does have some sort of relationship with the Seminole tribe.
They do. They
do. They have, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about all of them. Anyone that offend the Native, anyone that are specifically related to Native Americans, that offend.
Should they be removed? I don't know. I mean, because you can say that about Warriors. You know what I'm saying? You can say that about Warriors. And I'm not talking about like the Golden State Warriors, but I'm just saying, like, you see a team name that's called, like, the Edmonton Warriors. Right? And they, okay, change the logo.
Change the logo. Change your mascot.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. I would be pissed if teams all of a sudden start using black people as caricatures for their damn logo. Black people.
Well, that Red Tails name I seen, they had like a black dude with a fighter pilot hat on as the logo. I was like, I don't know about that one, bro.
I mean,
see, there you go.
If it's like something that's done in honor, like, you know, we were just talking about the Florida State thing where they have a relationship with a Native American tribe out there in Florida State, that, you know, I believe the person that rides onto the horse and throws the spear into the ground.
He's actually Native American.
Right. And that's come from their relationship with that tribe. If it's something like that where, you know, that particular community or whatever agrees with it and they believe that it's being used to enhance the image and the history of their people, and you know what I'm saying, then it's all good. But if you just gonna say, oh, I'm just gonna throw up this name because you're lucky, you know. I don't even want to say that. You're lucky they don't ride on you.
Uh-oh.
Really?
I'm saying, hey, straight government, up. I am not part of what he's talking about. We are three individual people. I do not support all his beliefs. Just want to make that known.
Dude, I mean, like, for real. You're lucky they don't ride on you.
I think it gets tricky. Hold on, listen. Hear me out. God damn it. Hear me out, god damn it. A team can come out and say they support, you know, like this tribe or whatever, and they send, you know, a few dollars their way and not really have that relationship like it seems like y'all saying Florida State and the Seminoles have. So that's what I mean by it can get tricky. It can be some back channeling and stuff like that.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, not that a team come out and say it. I'm talking about, like, you need to have some, like, some sort of relationship, not just
establish a relationship.
It ain't about. I'm willing to bet, and I could be totally wrong, that if you talk to Native American leaders and the people that speak on the behalf of these different tribes related to this issue, I'm willing to bet that it ain't about the money. I'm sure they wouldn't be upset if you gave them some money, but I'm willing to bet that their culture and the way they feel is more important than dollars. And I say that because, like, this is probably, we're not coming back from Afghanistan. This is probably 2011 when I was still in the Army. We took a we took a staff ride. We were studying an old battle. And part of the battle happened on it happened, like, we went to see something related to a Native American reservation. I was in a combat engineer battalion, that's what it was. And some engineering stuff had happened. It was Cochiti Dam, and that's related to the Cochiti tribe in New Mexico. And so we went to their tribe or whatever, and there was a member of their tribe who was a professor at New Mexico, University of New Mexico, and he talked to her before we got there. And he was talking about how the government had took their land, et cetera, et cetera. But this is 2012. And, like, you could literally, like, see the pain in this dude's eyes. And this happened, like, hundreds of years ago. Like, he was about to cry. You could just see, like, the anger. And that's just one tribe. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying every tribe is like that. But my guess would be that their culture, the respect for their culture and who they are, and what they've done, the hell is their country. It's their country.
That is true.
You can't put a price on that. You can't.
That's true. You know,
but anywho, man, NFL names, I think they ought to change all these names at every, if you got, I mean.
So what about the Chiefs?
It don't matter.
You can bring, no, I'm asking, like, is that a name that should be changed?
I don't know. I'm not Native American. If they feel that that's an issue, then you need to change it. If they feel that disrespect their culture, and they put you on notice, you ought to change it.
Because well, I guess you have Washington, you have the Chiefs,
Cleveland Indians.
No, I'm thinking football right now. Is that it?
I don't know. I'm a Cowboy fan. The mother team don't mean nothing to me.
Hey, trash. Hey, trash. Yeah, I mean basketball. I guess you have. Well, the Warriors don't really depict the Native American image. I don't know. I know the Indians in baseball, but I can't think of anybody else.
The Braves. There's a lot of teams out there.
It's the Braves.
Terrible. But
you said what?
It's bad. It's a lot more in high school.
Yeah.
But let me. We can lead the NBA. The NBA.
Lead the NBA. Black Lives Matter.
All y'all need to change our names and get right. You know what I'm saying? Put some respect on these folk names. It don't make no sense that black people have to start tearing up everything for y'all to start.
White Sox need change. Tweet it.
I ain't no cap. Let me.
Put them glasses at, bro.
To the NBA, man. I don't know what the heck going on, but I don't know why everybody all of a sudden love J.R. Smith. But what y'all is that the game?
That's my dog.
Is that the game changer for the Lakers? Is that the game changer?
Wow.
I'm gonna tell you something real talk. Behind Kobe Bryant, J.R. was my second favorite player in the NBA. Yeah, nothing to do with obviously he wasn't the top player.
Don't talk about basketball anymore. You just
what does that have to do with? What does that have to do with knowledge about basketball?
Hey,
Tweety.
What does that have to do with knowledge about basketball?
Let me get a toothpick and a pepper, Tweety. And a smile.
There's people that.
I'll
talk about your headset. Let me get a toothpick and a pepper.
this nigga, you look like you about to go spit a high 16 and ain't spit one yet. Nah, that's funny. But, that was funny, though. That was funny.
But, no, he's not the game changer, but considering that they lost Avery Bradley and they had to pick up something, I feel like he was the best that you could do. I mean, you can argue about, you know, Jamal Crawford or somebody like that, but he kind of fits what they need, a person that can shoot and when he wants to. Last time we seen him could still play defense, but he's not a game changer. It's all gonna come. Every playoffs comes down to the
last time
he was star.
Let me push back on something that Malcolm just said. You know that he was the piece that they had to pick up. Did they really
have to? I didn't say have to.
Say they had to pick up a piece, not necessarily him, but they had to pick up a piece.
Yeah, they need bodies.
First of all, you know, you got 15 players on a team, 12 are active. Rondo didn't play a lot because of injury, right? So you're gonna look at the fact that he's gonna be getting more minutes, presumably when he's healthy. You still got KCP. KCP was a starter.
So. Okay, Greg, let me stop you. So clearly you don't watch the Lakers.
Prior to all the shuffling that and I can't even remember the coach's name that they got now. He shuffled and he put Bradley into the starting lineup. Prior to KCP was a starter. He was a starter in LA. He was a starter when he was in Detroit. What I'm saying is he's a starting caliber type of player that was getting minutes for the Lakers. Here you got Caruso. Caruso's a fan favorite, a team guy. You can be giving him more minutes. My question is, why did you necessarily have to pick up another piece? Why?
Okay. In the world of Charles Barkley, there's a reason why they don't play that much, because they ain't that good. So they always come out with this per 100 possession stats. Like you're saying, Caruso, it's a reason why they play the amount of minutes that they play. Because if they play any longer, they play might start to deteriorate.
Let's
so,
see per 100 stats. You just said they always come out with them. I thought you were about to drop them on us.
No, you know what I'm saying? Analytics people always come out, you know, they'll come out with a stat for you know, Devin White or somebody and say, you know, for per 100 possessions, he's or per 60 minutes, he's averaging 28.8 points and 9.8 rebounds, but he only playing 5 minutes a game. That's the reason why he's only playing 5 minutes a game, because he's a spell player. He's not somebody that's supposed to be playing 30 minutes a game. So they lost Avery Bradley. He was averaging about 26 minutes a game. You're not going to want to put Rondo out there that long with LeBron, because neither one of them are known as shooters, so that kind of shrinks the floor. Caruso, you don't know what you're going to get in the playoffs. Yes, there's some lineups where he plays well, but I don't think they trust him yet to have those big type, those big of a minutes. And KCP,
they got Danny Green.
Yeah, Danny Green's going to play. Nobody said nothing about Danny Green. And then if you – I don't know how many minutes Kuzma is going to play. I don't think he's going to get slid into the starting lineup either. I think, to your point, KCP will. But if you start, you know, adding all these minutes, it depends on if the White plays or not. You might need another body. So,
now, let me ask you this. How does the Lakers win a championship if Kuzma is not getting heavy minutes? How does that happen?
They have other – so people talk about how deep the Clippers are. The Lakers have placed people that can step up and do it too. You've seen Danny Green get
on the highs now.
No. I said you've seen Danny Green get hot and win you a half or a game or something like that. You still have Anthony Davis. So, what I'm saying is, if you're saying LeBron and Anthony Davis is not going to win your title, how can you say the other superstars on other teams are not enough to win the title?
You just talk for 5 minutes and they say nothing.
I answered his question.
No, you didn't say nothing.
People have been out to Kyle Kuzma, the third best player, for a long time. You can make an argument it's been Dwight Howard or Avery Bradley. You can make that case that they've been the third best player. You can't make the case for Caruso because he don't play that much. But
Tweety, what you think, man?
I'm just playing devil's advocate with that, man. I really don't think that you just had to run out and just necessarily go get a guy, especially not J.R. Smith. And then the Deion Waiters thing, man, like, man, like I said on the thread, man, that's more proof that the NBA is a black league when Deion Waiters can get him a job, bro. Like, Deion Waiters? Like, who was checking for Deion Waiters, man? If Deion Waiters, if this was the NFL and Deion Waiters had did what he did, nobody would even think about giving Deion Waiters a gig anymore.
I push back on what you just said about if he did what he did. Bro, the Cowboys just signed
Alden Smith,
bro. Like, this man, he done got in trouble for airport threats, fam. Like, nah, if you got the talent, you're going to get a look, and all it takes is – I'm not saying Deion Waiters is this talented person, but obviously the Lakers like something that they want. They not saying that he ain't. Obviously, he's in the NBA, so he has talent. But what I'm saying
–
Are you putting Deion Waiters as one of the as a big get?
Rita, did you drop them fries yet?
Man, get on, man. Nah, they on the way. But to answer LJ's question, bro, I'm not sure if this J.R. Smith pickup, because I'm literally looking at the man's stats from the last full season he played. Bro, J.R. Smith every 8 points a game, bro. Like 8.3 points a game. Like, and now don't get me wrong.
You tell him to go home.
He shot 37% from the 3-point line, but averaged 8 points a game with 28 minutes. Like, and the last full season was 2017. Averaged 28.1 minutes a game, and my boy averaged 8.3 points a game. So it's like
his last full season was 2018, bro.
He played 11 games in 2018. I said full season, bro. I said full season. I'm not gonna go off 11 games. That's not fair. That's like judging Cam Newton off the last time we saw him. Like if you're gonna judge J.R. Smith on the last time we saw him, no lie, shouldn't be in the league no more. Cause if we're gonna go by those 11 games, the man averaged 6.7 points a game. Like on 34% shooting. 30 from the 3-point line, like one rebound, one assist a game. Like we talking about somebody who really, what you call Malcolm, a spot player. he ain't even giving you that kind of stuff in spot minutes no more. So it like I'm like LJ in the sense of I didn't understand the big hype. Like I get the whole fit because he know LeBron and he done played with LeBron before, but I'm like, what is he really gonna give y'all? He ain't played in almost 2 years.
Bro, like, but people, y'all acting like people are here talking about he's the piece that puts them over. I thought they were just talking about him getting signed. That's all they were.
No. Okay, Mac. The reason why this was even a story was because they was like he was the perfect piece to replace Adrian Bradley, bro. Like, if that wasn't the case, but
come on, Steve, they get the name right, Avery.
They was out
Avery
there.
Bradley. That's cool, my man. Avery Bradley. You're right, my man. At least I ain't say, man, I lost the field playing for the Cowboys. We ain't gonna go there. But nah, what I'm saying is, bro, like, I don't think J.R. Smith is really gonna be as much of a piece that even I think he's just gonna be another body on the roster. That's all I'm getting it from it. Cause
and then when you look at what they were missing from Avery Bradley, J.R. Smith ain't bringing that. He ain't defending nobody.
Yeah, he ain't playing no defense, Malcolm. I heard you say that too. I ain't seen okay. J.R. play defense in a long time, bro. Like in a minute, probably since his New York days, bro.
That's what you missing with Avery.
I'm dead serious. Okay, Malcolm, you said disrespectful. When he was in Cleveland, who was he guarding?
Man, bottom line.
Give me one time you seen him be like, you like, man, J.R. Smith, shut that boy down.
Avery Bradley, one of the best perimeter defensive players in the league. Period.
That's a fact.
No matter what you think about him, what you think about his offensive game, none of that. He wanted one of the best perimeter defensive players in the league. Period. You're not getting that from J.R. Smith. You're just not gonna get that.
You say what, LJ?
I was looking for my laptop charger for it to cut off.
Oh, already.
I think he's more of an insurance policy. Right. They probably needed to add another body, you know, maybe for practice purposes or whatever. Dwight Howard might not even play. And I'm not saying that he gonna get any of Dwight Howard's minutes. I mean, they could, you know, in theory go smaller because they do have Markieff Morris, but I don't see him coming in and really, at least immediately for sure, not getting a ton of minutes because you gotta think Avery Bradley probably was able to spend some time playing the one. Who was the starting one? I don't know who. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Avery Bradley was the starting point guard. My bad.
Mm-hmm. So LeBron played point. Avery Bradley was out there, but LeBron was running.
LeBron. Oh, I guess Avery was a starting too, but LeBron was a point guard, right? So
LeBron was a facilitator.
Yeah, so with Avery Bradley, I forget who said it. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was going to probably slide into the starting two position. And right or wrong, he's probably a better fit right now at this point in time. He's definitely a better defender. And the other thing is, whereas J.R. Smith hadn't played an NBA game in almost like 2 years, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been playing, and he was shooting just a hair under 40% from my three-point line in what it was like 46, however many games he played this year. So I think he's a good fit. And then with those backup point guard minutes, Rondo is healthy. Quinn Cook is going to get some of those.
Quinn Cook ain't played in about 3 months.
But Quinn Cook have played like 3 months. What
you go look it up.
Ain't nobody played about three months, man.
No. I meant like before this happened, Quinn Cook wasn't even suiting up, bro. He wasn't even suiting up. Quinn Cook was dressed up.
The Lakers had played 49 plus. 1-4-5-1 was that 63 games? The Lakers had played 63 games. He had played in 38 of them.
I'm not a Quinn Cook fan at all, but I think at the very least Quinn Cook has played in the playoffs and played in the finals. So that's why.
Okay, so if you're gonna give him that credit, you gotta give JR that credit.
Why?
Maybe. But JR ain't played in the last 2 years, like you just said. He ain't played in a while. Quinn Cook at least been playing. But to my earlier point, I don't see how the Lakers can win a championship without Kyle Kuzma being a major piece of that. I just don't see
that. Okay, let me ask you a question. Can the Clippers win a championship without Lou Williams?
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Keep ducking and dodging. You don't have to answer the question about the Lakers.
No.
Somebody else. Just
No.
Because that's what he's going to ask everybody who, I don't know why, they overrated.
To answer your question, my answer is no. I think that what Lou Williams and what Montrezl Harrell been doing, they got to continue to do that in order for them to win championship.
Because Lou Williams thinking about not playing.
Well, then that definitely hurts their chances because they need him. Period. You know what I'm saying? And then, too, I mean, I like Paul George, but is Paul George really proven in the playoffs? If we just being honest?
Yes.
You know? Nah, Tweety about to put his cape on, though.
Okay, now I'm gonna ask y'all a question. It ain't even about Paul George. It ain't even about Paul George. What is proving yourself in the playoffs? Because if you ain't LeBron James or play for Golden State, you ain't won shit.
Not losing to the Utah Jazz in the first round.
If you ain't really, bro. So you saying Utah was sorry?
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell was a rookie.
Never mind, bro. All right. That's all I'm saying, bro. I'm not gonna argue with certain people because it makes me look like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Bro, so I'm not even gonna go there.
In the game.
And you're trying to make forgot about the game before that when he went for 28, though. You forgot about that.
But look, this is the problem. Hold on. This is the problem. This is the problem. He started talking about. He started calling himself playoff P, and then he went out there and shot 1 for 14. That's the problem.
Hey. what's your boy name?
You're right about that, right? He called himself playoff P. You're right about that.
Hey, I remember your boy Inglis was giving him the business. What's your boy name that played for Utah?
Joe Inglis.
Yeah, he was like, Joe
Ingles gave a lot of people to be in the grade. You must have seen Joe Ingles play. he was a scoring machine, right? What he did, he wasn't a great player, but he knew how to score my fire, bro.
And then he came out when he resigned with Oklahoma City.
Ain't Paul George all in KD?
Okay, bro. You're right. If you look at the evidence, yeah, it shows Paul George is a good perimeter defender. But that's like saying when Dame Little fired him up from almost 50 feet out. That's not bad defense, bro. That's just a shot by Dame. Like, yeah, ain't nothing you can do about that, bro. Like, that, and that's what I'm saying. Like, give me one person in the NBA who has stopped any other person one-on-one. I'm waiting.
Nobody.
Hey, y'all can't be saying that then talking about J.R. Smith can't play defense. You know what I mean? Bro, y'all contradicting yourself.
Defense is, you know what I'm saying is, defense ain't a singular thing on the court. It's a team aspect. And J.R. Smith don't add to it.
Down, but you definitely can slow them down. You know what I'm saying? A good defender can slow a good offensive player down.
Who slowed Kobe?
What's your boy name? A Kobe stopper. Reuben Patterson. Kobe stopper.
Who you say, yeah, Andrew?
The Kobe stopper, man.
I thought the Kobe stopper was
Rajah Bell.
There you go, Rajah Bell. That's what I thought it was.
He just got on Kobe nerves. That's all it was. He just got on his nerves.
I mean, but what I guess what I'm saying is, bro, like, okay, like when everybody was saying Patrick Beverly was on KD, and KD looked at the camera like, really, bro? Hey, see what I'm saying?
Westbrook
really, bro?
Westbrook told y'all, Pat Bell be fooling y'all. He be out there doing a whole bunch of nothing. Westbrook not already told y'all.
I can't speak for nobody else. I don't say nobody's a good defender or a great defender only based solely off of what they do one-on-one because I really have the belief that you're not stopping nobody one-on-one in the NBA. Like, you can't make life difficult. But I think you also have to be able to play good team defense also. My example would be Michael Jordan or Allen Iverson. A lot of the best plays we saw Michael Jordan make defensively was help defense. The steal on Karl Malone, the block on Patrick Ewing from the back. Like, it's a lot of team defensive aspects in that added to the fact that he was a great defender. Because, like I say, I can be a good on-ball defender, but if I'm not a good team defender and I don't know when to help or when to rotate, I still make the defense look bad because all I'm worried about is my man.
We shouldn't have
this. Okay, Coach Wiley.
You're setting up conversations like this because I don't think y'all know what y'all talking about.
Bro, you sound like you're mumbling, but
–
Detective conversation like this. I don't think Tweety, I don't know what the hell you just said, but that didn't make any sense.
You a liar. How does it not make no sense? When, okay, LJ, so if I'm playing somebody on the perimeter on the wing, and somebody cut, and it's like the defense has rotated, and all I'm doing is sitting on the wing, am I not leaving the hole open for the defense somewhere? If I don't rotate with everybody else?
Yeah, you leave the hole open for the defense if you don't rotate. Hey, y'all.
Man, whatever,
bro. No. My point is you can absolutely be a great on-the-ball defender and be an awful off-ball defender.
I said that. That's why I said I don't judge it alone. I just said that's why I said I don't judge that alone, because you have to play both man and team defense. That's what I said.
Not necessarily. And that's what I'm saying. This probably is not the best topic for this kind of podcast. It's more for a coaching podcast. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you get to the high school level, for sure, not all defense is singularly based on team defense.
I get that.
The scheme may be, if I got a shooter, don't leave him. Now, if right, I rotate, right. you telling me that if my coach tells me this guy, we don't want this guy to do X, Y, Z, so I don't want you to help off of him or her.
Well, that's a specific direction, so yeah.
And that's my point is this is probably not the best format to have that kind of technical discussion. Because I'm not saying that you're wrong. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying really getting to the nuances of that.
Okay. More of the story is
Deion Waiters might be the man when he step on the floor. Why y'all talking about J.R. Smith?
Deion Waiters might get two minutes. He might get 2 minutes. That's what might happen.
JR might be only available for 2 minutes. Like, what you? He the one.
He might get 2 minutes.
JR Smith, though. He's going to play better defense than JR Smith. He's going to play better defense than JR Smith.
Listen, they
going to shoot. They going to shoot up more crazy shots.
Deion
Waiters, what?
He need to play because I want to see him wave off LeBron with LeBron. I'm good, fam. You get the wings.
It's going to happen.
Fill the wings, son. Run, my dude. Listen. What if Deion?
That's funny right there, bro.
Screen? Hey, yo, come screen, fam. Imagine Deion waiting. LeBron trying to post up a smaller guard, and Deion waiting to tell him to clear out. He'll clear out.
Boy, that'll be the last time Deion Waiters to put on the uniform. Boy, LeBron gonna be hot.
I promise you.
Frank Vogel's gonna say he gotta go.
LeBron gonna come to the locker room. What is he doing? Like, why is he here? Like, he's gonna get him up.
Hey, do y'all think if somebody like LeBron or Kawhi get Corona, they gonna like try to keep it under wraps where they keep playing?
No.
Hell yeah, they're
going to
try to keep
on. Nah. You talking about lawsuit out the air? Nah,
bro. Nah. Y'all talking about
that. They can't afford to do that, bro. Like, if they got Corona, they got to let that be gone, bro. They can't let them do that. You got to speak that, bro.
Hey, you gonna see LeBron at the free throw line coughing his butt off, bro. They are not going to let it.
Nah, bro. You say what, LG?
Y'all have a barbecue, y'all invite us, so I see people come get lighter fluid.
Oh, you talking Malcolm,
Wait, before we move on to something else, I wanna know. I'm about to get in y'all. I wanna see y'all. We gonna get this bad. Y'all celebrate the 4th yesterday. Come on, Greg.
Yeah, celebrate the 4th.
Oh man!
Let's say, come on, Greg. That's funny, bro. Man, that shit made my stomach hurt. That was funny right there, bro.
I'm gonna tell y'all, I did the same stuff I did on the 4th probably for the last 4 or 5 years. Was work, and then come home and watch fireworks.
And Tweety, you ain't canceled the 4th, Tweety.
Say what?
You ain't canceled the 4th?
Nah, I celebrated. I mean, I ain't popping no firecrackers or nothing, but I went over one of my cousin's house and we just chilled over there.
So you mean to
tell me nothing big?
Y'all ain't get on that council the fourth bandwagon on that plan.
How you gonna cancel the
fourth? Nah, bro, I ain't get on that.
Hey, don't act like y'all ain't see that.
If you gonna cancel the fourth, take your ass to work.
The fourth of July, I seen all that. I'm like, man, y'all tripping.
He celebrated the 4th of July for 39 years in Nashville. Man, ain't nothing. The same stuff was happening last year. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I didn't get
that. I know we had talked about social justice and all that, but the same thing for you folks out there who like, Juneteenth ought to be a holiday. Where was you at last year? Or the year before that? You didn't think it's supposed to be a holiday last year?
I'll take both of them as a holiday. How about that? Give me both of them. Hey, holiday, I'm good.
Oh, man.
It don't matter for me. Hell, I'm having my ass at work anyway, so it really don't matter.
Malcolm living in a desegregated house. He got to celebrate.
It's crazy.
My house desegregated too.
I was like, you got to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. It's a good plan.
My wife Mexican though, so is my house desegregated?
Yeah.
Which side are we? Are we desegregated or not?
Because our leader say he don't like them either.
Hey, Cinco de Mayo used to be tough for you because it was always Mayweather versus somebody from Mexico, bro. He was boxing, so I don't know.
I got a hell of a story about Cinco de Mayo. Some people,
y'all, bro. He said he got a hell of a story about Cinco
de Mayo. Let me tell you. So, like Malcolm said, Floyd Mayweather always fight. He fought Floyd Mayweather. I mean, excuse me. He fought, what's the dude?
Marquez Alvarez.
No, Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh.
We was at my wife's cousin's.
Not fighting the golden boy.
Oh, about like 50 people. I had to watch the fight in the bedroom. Floyd Mayweather.
That's funny. That's funny, boy. He probably had that whole house ready to turn shit up, boy.
That was quiet, boy. That was quiet.
Rat piss on the fajita.
Man.
Okay, move on. Say,
man.
What y'all think about Maker Maker? Y'all don't
what?
Know. He's, is that
Thorn Maker's brother?
Yes. It is.
In different.
Yeah, Thorn Maker brother.
He a 5-star recruit. And in different, like, different recruiting service, I think the ones that I've seen, 24/7, the one ESPN.com, they all have him ranked in the top 10,
ain't he?
Top 20. He was 16.
Oh, okay.
And I want to say on 24/7, he might have been like 17, somewhere around now. But, you know, just right outside of in that 15 range. So he recently chose to go to Howard University, which is the HBCU, which is not known for their athletics. It's really known for their really, 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 really strong academic program.
Right.
So I would think along the lines of like Harvard or something like that. But in terms of an HBCU, when you think of Howard, you really think of their education, a ridiculously top level education. But he had offers from like Kentucky, UCLA, a lot of the big name perennial.
Blue Bloods.
Yeah, Blue Bloods of college basketball. And he chose to go to an HBCU instead of going over. So we're going to go to our very own HBCU correspondent.
I'm finna say, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah.
Well, at first, when you were just giving this rundown of his resume, I was thinking about his brother. I was like, man, is this dude really 30 years old? You know.
That's racist.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, but you know, yeah, I think it's a good move. like we had talked about this topic, I think a few weeks back. I think in order to have that kind of transition, to have highly rated players going to HBCUs, it's a lot easier in basketball than it is in football. You get one or two, maybe three guys on the same team. They make it to the tourney. They can really make some noise. So, I mean, I think it's a good move, especially if he gets somebody else to join him. And I'm really not surprised that he's the one, just because, again, he's Thon Maker's brother. All right? So he had done some creative things to try to get to the NBA as soon as possible himself, as far as being a trailblazer, right, reclassifying and stuff like that. So I'm talking about Thon Maker. So I'm not surprised that his brother would try to be a trailblazer too and try to do something a little bit different. So I'm not really surprised that he's the one to do it, the first one to do it. But yeah, I think it's a good thing. And I don't think it hurts his chance at all. If they play, they make the tournament, he plays well, he's still gonna go to the NBA regardless.
He's not gonna make the tournament. They ain't made a tournament in 30 years. They ain't gonna make it in their 31st year.
Yeah, I don't follow how a basketball. I know they in the MEAC. You know, I imagine what. So Hampton's probably been a better team, but I don't follow how a basketball. I don't really know who the coach is. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you ain't got the ESPN package, the HBCU package.
He's some dude.
I probably do. I follow this HBCU sports site on Twitter. I think it's is it HBCU game day or game plan or something like that. Yeah. So I kind of look into it some, but I don't follow how basketball like that, man. But basketball, we all know superstars makes the great equalizer. If he goes there and he's phenomenal, and they win their conference, he's still gonna go to the NBA. I mean, even if they don't make the tournament, he's probably still going to make the NBA regardless. If he's going to make it before, he's still going to make it. I don't see it hurting him at all. It's a big plus for Howard, though. They're definitely.
That's what I was going to say. I say
for sure.
Great for Howard because they're probably going to get more nationally televised games or just more games on TV in general.
Only fan account. Maybe we'll see your lid.
It depends. I mean. For Makua or whatever his name is, it remains to be seen if it's great for him because the ultimate, I guess, indicator is where he gets drafted in the NBA or if he gets drafted, I guess. But I don't think he should choose it just because he's woke. He should choose it because he thinks that's the best school. Like, so my question would be is, was he considering Howard – before this all happened? Like, did he take a visit to Howard or
sure he took a visit to Howard.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yep. I think he said his whole thing about the visit was to, I guess you could say, start this whole HBCU movement. Like that he was saying what he did can help others to.
So when did he visit? When did he take his visit, y'all know?
Now, I wasn't there, but I don't.
I think
I guess the question is, you talking about pre-George Floyd or post-George Floyd, right?
Yeah, pre-George.
I think it was pre-George Floyd when he was talking about going.
I think so, too. I think he visited before.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think this was a reaction to what's going on. No, I don't think that's the case.
Selecting Howard is a reaction, but I think he was already, like, having him as a choice, a consideration. You know what I'm saying? Kind of. I mean, I don't know what his reason was, but I do think along your thinking, Malcolm, I think post-George Floyd, I think that's the reason why he chose Howard.
Yeah, he visited Howard in October of last
year. Now, I had nothing to do with George Floyd, I don't think. I think I'm not going to say nothing, but I do think – I'm not going to say he was leaning, but like you say, he visited them way back in October. So it wasn't like they just popped up when
stuff
started happening. You know what I'm saying? So, and I know that's what I'm saying. Like, nah, that wasn't the case. Now, I can agree with you a little bit, Greg, when you say after this, it kind of, you know, gave him that extra nudge to go ahead and choose Howard. But as far as the overall aspect of it, honestly, it could hurt him. It could backfire just because of the non-eyes that you're not going to get on Howard TV, even with him there, because ESPN still got contracts with other conferences that they have to put their games on. Like they got the ESPNU where they have a where they do HBCU games.
He has to stand out in the MEAC, bro.
If you I think he will. I think he'll stand out. It's just that how bad is the rest of the team?
He's about to be the only 7-footer in the conference, so he'll be all right.
He gonna stand
I don't know about that, though.
I think he's gonna stand out just because of sheer talent. Only reason why I say it could possibly, and I mean possibly, and I think that possibility is small because of all the different media outlets. Go ahead.
He's gonna stand out because of sheer talent. When you see him play.
No, what I'm okay, AJ. The reason why I say sure tell it because nobody, you're not going to be ranked in the ESPN top 20 if you sorry. Come on, bro. Well, like, I mean, it's Kyle Cummins, since, bro. Like, come on. Give me somebody else. Hold on. What you mean, don't do that? Okay, AJ. Who is going to be sorry? Why come on?
You can assume somebody in the top 20 is a good player. Nobody in the MEAC is in top 20 in the ESPN.
That's what I'm saying.
How about Thon Maker? He was a high. He was
Where did
a,
he go to school at?
Hell, he ain't good. What I'm saying is college-wise.
Okay. When you say Thon Maker, you're right. He was, but you're right. That means he didn't play out. But before he set foot on that court, nobody thought he was sorry, bro.
Do people think Thon Maker sorry now?
Yeah. I don't.
I ain't gonna say sorry, but I mean I don't know what people think of him now. I don't know.
Quality minutes in Milwaukee. He just didn't.
I'm not gonna sit here and give an opinion about Thon Maker because right, I don't even know where he played.
Do you know who Trevin Duval is?
Who?
I honestly didn't even know.
Okay, Twitty.
Before you go down these lanes, I'm gonna tell you you're gonna waste your time because I don't even know this nigga.
Oh, that's my point. That's my point. Then it's ridiculous that you gonna say,
"Oh my God,
you never seen him play."
No, you say it's ridiculous, but I understand where you're coming from, but the reason why I said what I said is because of where he is ranked as a basketball player.
We trust those rankings, bro. We do. I'm not saying they always 100% right, but
I might be wrong. What I'm saying, LJ, you are 1,000% right as far as me saying, or I guess you could say judging how he's gonna play, and I haven't seen him. You're right about that. I put the whole expectation up there because of where he's ranked as a player, because whether I put it there or not, his ranking has already put a little pressure on him anyway.
Yeah, based off the information that Tweety has given to him, this guy should dominate in the media.
Information do we have? What somebody else put on
it? I didn't say that. I'm just going by the ranking.
The ranking. That's your information. That's your information.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know one thing. I'm not going to say that. You know, I'm not saying he's going to dominate the media, but I think that in order for him to be definitely, if he's going to lottery in the NBA, he's going to have to dominate the media. But another thing too, man, you can't discredit the players that's already there. Like they are taking notice. I'm pretty sure some of them gonna have a chip on their shoulder. Every game he plays, he's gonna come in as the guy. So I mean, I think he's gonna face some decent competition. I mean, he's D1 players, man.
I have a lot of faith in the basketball players I've never seen play.
They Division I basketball players, man.
I mean nothing.
Okay.
I mean, from my perspective, hey, I'm not saying y'all should.
Well, how did you feel about Luka coming into the NBA? Did you watch him?
Me?
Who, Luka?
Yeah, I'm asking LJ. I'm asking my name is my name. That's what I'm asking.
I was going to say,
Luka was zero player of the
LJ question, Greg Ganser.
That was
I'm just saying.
But to answer, I didn't have any thoughts on Luka. I had never seen him play before. I mean,
okay. When
you come from a professional league, it's a little bit easier to kind of like see something. But still, at the end of the day, I try not to make my opinion based off of what somebody else wrote. I like to see guys for myself because.
So let me.
Hold on, let me finish. Just as you can say, somebody said, Luka was going to be great, and he was great. We can also point out, like, a Dante Exum, or go back to Nikola Skidishvili or all these other European League players, Darko Milicic.
They won EuroLeague MVP, though.
But that's not my point. It wasn't talking about MVP. I'm talking about specifically somebody else said, oh, this guy's a can't miss project.
Right.
Prospect.
Right.
But I understand that, but I'm giving you a difference in their resume, though. This guy was EuroLeague MVP. That's different.
But the whole conversation is not about Luka. It's about Tweety taking the resume, taking something about that somebody else wrote that you've never seen before and saying, oh, this guy's
gonna be good. Understand what the argument.
Okay,
the premise, but he gave you a specific example of Luka Doncic.
I just said, he said, what was your thoughts? I said, I didn't have one because I've never seen him play. That's exactly what I said. I didn't have one because I've never seen him play. It's no different to me. I'm not taking somebody else's word that, and I'm just going to say, yeah, that dude going to be off the chain because James from down the street or somebody else said he was going to be good, knowing that you gave one guy. And we can go down the list of people that a lot of people have said are going to be really good in the NBA that ain't been worth two dead flies, man.
League MVPs, though?
I don't think that really matters.
One off. For one player you name, you can go down and find 10 people from Euro Leagues that they said were going to be great that weren't worth two dead flies, man.
But what Euro League MVP can?
It does not matter. You giving me all these – what Euro League, what it don't matter. We can go back and give you all these players that they was wrong about.
I mean,
and along with what Edge, I am open to being wrong. I'm setting myself up for that with that prediction. I do agree with that. I guess what I'm saying when it came to what LJ was saying about what because I'm usually like that, especially when it comes to football players. Like, I don't like to say who's going to be good or bad unless I don't see you play, but I have annoyingly set myself up to possibly be all the way wrong by saying I think he should do his thing at Howard. I know that.
You know, you was one of them Cowboy fans that was born to Leighton Van Der Esch draft selection. Quit playing.
What, that was doing what, the Leighton Van Der Esch draft selection?
Booing.
I don't boo or cheer draft selection. I didn't know nothing about Leighton Van Der Esch, but I didn't watch Boise State play. I just was like, who is he? Like, I wasn't mad or happy. I just like, all right, whatever. Like, picks, bro.
I wasn't a fan of the Luka pick, for the record, just being a flat out honest. I mean, I didn't like Trae Young either, though.
It's easy to say now that, oh, yeah, I was all about Luka.
Right. I mean, he got drafted with, like, fifth or sixth?
I don't know.
No, he was third overall.
No, Trae Young went before him. He got traded.
Yeah, him and Trae Young got flip-flopped. It was 4 and 5. Or 3 and 5 or something like that.
I didn't know if I had no idea. Just like Dante Exum.
I had no idea about Luka.
That's why I've never done a draft. I don't think I've ever done a draft recap show. Well, I mean, maybe like something about like whether they drafted a position, but because especially
we did like a little live one this past, bro. But because I remember we saw my Kobe White.
We might have. I can't remember.
Yeah, we did.
I normally don't do them because, especially in NFL, most of the guys I've never seen play. A lot of guys, especially once you get outside the first round, and even
it's hard.
The first round, it becomes hard. You know what I'm saying? You don't have the benefit of being able to rewind and have good angles. It's hard for me. You got to think, when I look at game film, I'm looking from a coach's perspective.
Right.
There's different angles and things like that I like to see and be able to replay. And I don't even want to talk about that. Hey, let me ask you.
I got a question. So, you was talking about back to Maker. You were saying you don't want to base it off because he's going from the high school level to the D1 level, right?
I didn't say
how
that.
Much
he said, because he had never really he said I was wrong for putting my expectations without even seeing a man play.
I shouldn't have said you was wrong. I would have said
that's something that he wouldn't do.
That people shouldn't do that in general, but what you want, you know what I'm saying?
So he got his rankings based off playing against high school companies, like his peers, right? His high school competition. How much of a jump in talent level do you think it is from the level he was playing at in high school to where he's going to be playing in the conference in the media? Like talent wise, do you think it's gonna be about
the same? Probably a big jump.
Think so?
Yeah. I mean, you just think about it, right? How many teams in college, excuse me, in high school have guys that are over 6'5"?
And like they whole roster be like
I'm saying
like,
the level he's playing, I don't know how often he plays guys. Like, you know what I'm saying?
All right, bro. Okay, hold on, man. Let's just get something straight, bro. Like, just because you go to a black school don't mean you 5'6", my new playing point guard, bro. Like, they get real college athletes, bro. Like, I'm just saying, like,
I didn't say they was D1 players.
I ain't gonna just say D1 players either though, because there is levels to this thing. I just what I'm saying. I guess Malcolm, I played on levels under NCAA, whatever.
No, that's I guess not, the I'm talking about that level of high school he's playing now. Right. He's not playing Avalon all the time. He's not playing Tyler.
That's what I'm like, saying. Right.
Wait, right. Hold on. No, I'm bringing Tyler Speed in.
Chill out, bro.
You got beat by Tyler Speed before.
No, I've never lost to Tyler Speed.
Yeah,
for your information. Because I've never played him. So there you go.
Let's be clear. There's people at Tyler Street that done gave plenty of public school players,
the teams, business.
All that. The blue. Don't do that.
Tyler Street, they went to the pros.
And but I guess my point to Malcolm was, I guess on any level above high school, there is going to be a jump. Like, that's why I say it's going to be a jump. NAIA, D3, D2, low, black college, it don't matter, bro. It's going to be a jump. Like, but you asked, was it going to be the same, like, talent level?
I said how much of a jump.
I'm looking at Hampton roster right now. They got to do the 6'8", 6'4", 6', 6'5", 6'6".
Come on, height.
6'3".
I mentioned the height.
LJ mentioned the height.
I was the one who my point was like in high school, guys that are like super tall, like, you know, way taller than average, one of the reasons that it can be a little bit easier for them to dominate in high school is because the chances of them playing against anybody remotely close to their height is like slim to none. I mean, you know, when you think of
so what school did he go to?
He went to 4 different high schools.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, he didn't stay at one school.
Yeah, the last school he was at was a prep school out of Arizona. And, like, to be honest with you, these prep schools nowadays, it's hard to tell. You have to really go look at their schedule to see who they play. Because a lot of these prep school teams don't even – they play across the country.
Yeah, they travel. That's they, like, pretty much travel
that's
teams.
That's the
yeah.
point I was saying. Like, if he's playing against IMG and, you know, Oak Hill and, all, you know what I'm saying, teams like that all the time. Mm-hmm. Most of those players are going to go D1. So I'm saying, how much difference is he going to be playing against this? Like, how much of a level is it going to jump for him if he's used to playing all these players that's eventually going to go D1 too? That's what I was saying.
That's a legitimate question.
It's still a significant jump because even if you think of just, excuse me, the physical development between an 18-year-old and a
21. I got you.
You know, because, yeah. But I wanted to ask y'all one question. I know we're getting a little long here. Now, Maker, as Tweety was saying, he think he's gonna have a really good career
college, longer yeah. than
college, right? And I hope that, you know, whatever his goals are related to his career, I hope that comes true for him. My question to you is, or to you gentlemen, is one and done, is that good for an HBU? HBCU is if Maker is able to go to Howard and be dominant in the MEAC conference, get Howard to the NCAA tournament, hell, maybe win a game or two or have a mini Maker run, whatever. And he decides, oh, you know what, I'm out. I'm going to the NBA. Is that good for an HBCU?
Yep. More exposure than they had before. I don't understand why it would hurt them. I mean, that's the cost of doing business when you're dealing with a high level player. There's always a possibility. I
disagree with that. I think it would hurt, honestly, because
damn it, hold on. Can't hear me.
Right.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. I think it would actually hurt because unlike these other schools who have
From drive through to podcast, you gotta push that button. Stop taking them drive.
Y'all can't hear me because I can hear y'all. Y'all can't hear me,
bro. Yes, we can hear you.
I thought he was saying y'all couldn't hear me. My bad. Whatever, bro. Get on with that. But nah, I think it would actually do a lot of negative in the long run, because unlike the blue bloods who take the one and dones, they are already established this program. Like, it don't. And the reason why I say that, because it was a time where people was going straight to the NBA out of high school in Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. They were still on top of the game. I don't think, like, Howard can't sustain one and dones, because you got programs nowadays that complain about one and dones. And I think in order for the HBCU to stay on top, you need, like, I guess you could say name power. Like, you need somebody to stay there at least 2 years, right?
Did it hurt the University of Rhode Island? When the last time you seen
Rhode Island on TV?
Greg,
when the last time you seen University of Rhode Island on TV?
Hey, it hurt
because if you're talking about Lamar Odom, yes, it hurt, right, man, bro. Because okay.
Rhode Island got like 3 or 4 top recruits this year.
When the last time have you seen Rhode Island on TV?
It was on TV this year. Just because you didn't watch it.
Never mind, man. All right, bro. So, you know what? You might be right, bro. But I ain't seen ESPN say Rhode Island versus such and such. Tune in. You don't get that with that. Like, you got to have name power to get that.
But is that Howard's goal? I think Howard's goal is.
I don't know what Howard's goal is, but I know they want these big-time recruits. They want to win. So I'm not at Howard's AD or been in the room to be like, what's your goal for these big time athletes? He might just want to win. But if you want to talk about the HBCU keeping that power of like, hey, we're gonna compete consistently, I think in order for people to keep going there, you gotta have somebody that's gonna be there.
Well, based upon your response, Tweety, I guess I can kind of nuance my response. I think that it could be a good thing if, say, they, you know, they do well, they go to the tournament or whatever. It will be considered, I guess, a successful season, and he still leaves. Then I think that they'll still be fine, because he's not going to disparage the program. He's probably going to come back and say, oh, the coaches were excellent. They did me great. He's going to be an unofficial recruiter for the school going forward, kind of like Kevin Durant is with the University of Texas. Ooh, right? See. But if his experience is bad and they play horribly and the facilities suck and he just has a horrible experience and he just leaves in the middle of the night, then, yeah, I think it could hurt them. Because then, again, he's not gonna reach back. He's not going to wear Howard University proudly sweatshirts and stuff like that to kind of pub the school. Like I say again, like you see that Durant does with UT. So I think it depends. It depends.
I don't think UT need Kevin Durant to put on that cape. They're going to get whatever they get anyway. Like, that's one of the schools I'm talking about. Like, huh?
I think UT basketball needed that.
No, UT basketball need help regardless. KD putting on that Texas shirt ain't going to get them that recruit. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, they going to get what they going to get regardless. Like, okay, you say that, but when the last
I disagree. You just said Texas needs recruits. I think a lot of kids gave Texas consideration after Kevin Durant came from D.C. to Austin to play basketball. I think a lot of players
I would say
TJ Ford had more influence than Kevin Durant, bro.
Man,
nah, I ain't gonna say that. I wouldn't say that he had more influence. I would just say that before, I think Kevin Durant was that big fish. You're right about that. But I do think the name of the University of Texas Longhorn, like that name alone. Whether, like I say, because KD went to a program that wasn't, like you say, they wasn't basketball heavy, but he chose that.
And KD didn't, Texas wasn't his first choice. Let's not get it twisted. He only went to Texas because Red Weaver gave Brandon Wright a scholarship the same fucking day, and Brandon Wright accepted it. So KD took it as Texas.
They already had like 3 lottery picks.
Right. But they had people on the team that was already balling.
I will say this shit ain't gonna matter. We over arguing about that because this shit ain't gonna matter in a few years anyway. So
I think it will matter if it plays right. You might see not a shift of power, but you might see more kids.
No, more kids. more kids are just going to start. They're going to figure out a way to get to the G League. So college
it's
basketball
amazing
is gonna
how
be
you know how everybody is going to live their life, bro. That portal is open right now. He could have took that same portal right now.
I'm saying that I think the trend will be more going towards the G League than it will be going towards HBCUs. Because unless they figure out a way to
wait till that boy go to Howard Homecoming, that's a game changer, player.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, man. Have you been to Howard Homecoming?
It don't matter.
Oh, man, he just made the homecoming, the end all be out.
Oh, my God.
Malcolm, I don't know what the hell you talking about. That don't even make sense. I'm going to tell you why. Because the G League ain't taking everybody. It is specifically for the creme de la creme in their opinion.
You just said he was top 20.
I didn't say he was creme de la creme, though.
G League. Not for the G League.
He went to the G League this year.
Creme de la creme, top three, top five. Like, that would
it ain't go to Howard because he was like, oh, I want to go to the G League.
So, yeah, I don't think the G League is going to expand.
My point is, I understand the G League, it may or may not expand. My point is, the G League is not going to expand to the point to where they're going to start taking in 50 high school players every year, because then it's going to affect their product, regardless of whether you think about, you know, the G League is high quality or whatnot. They're not going to start taking in 50 high school players who want to go to the NBA just because they want to go. They're not doing it.
I agree.
Even when kids was going straight to high school, it wasn't like 50 kids going to the straight from high school to the NBA. You was getting a handful. Then what started happening? You started getting guys who wouldn't get drafted and more.
And then, like I said, and then it got to the point where even those guys, the NBA was like, well, we need to figure out a way to get them a little something because it's ruining the product. Yeah, like I said, you get too many people in that don't know how to play ball. You ruin the product, whether you're talking about G League or pros, like, or the big league, like, because G League, whether you want to say it or not, that is still a professional basketball league. And nobody, whether like these owners who own some of these G League teams also don't want to look at their product and be like, well, I got six kids that I drafted fresh out of high school and they really don't know how to hoop. So I'm really wasting spots on my professional team. Like, you know, that's just what that is. Like, I'm with LJ. Like, you can't just bring in high school talent, open the door, because you do ruin your product at that time if you want to claim to be a professional.
I agree with Tweety. Tweety listened to my podcast and stole my
– I really didn't listen to your podcast, bro. Like, I promise you I did, and I ain't trying to slight you, bro. I really didn't listen to it.
It's all agreeable. He stole mine. I don't think it would be good for HBCUs just because of the fact that, like, right now, the climate is perfect for them to throw everything else to the side and say, I'm going to go to HBU because I want to make a stand, regardless of whether they totally understand what the hell they're making a stand for or not. But they want to make that stand and believe that they're going to be able to shine a brighter light on HBCUs. Well, and I know before we've talked about the money that comes with college athletics when you have a big-time program. Well, if you have a one-and-done, that ain't making you a big-time program. That's making you 1 year. That, like Tweety said, you got to consistently be able to bring in those recruits, right? So winning will matter. And if you're not – like, let's take Howard, for example. They hadn't been to the NCAA tournament in 30 years. Let's just say if they make it this year, that's going to be a huge thing for that university. Right? They make it this year, and this upcoming season, let's just say Maker decides to go to the NBA, right? Then what happens? They don't get another top 15, top 20 recruit in, then they go back to being the Howard they were before that, which is a team that hasn't historically been a great program as far as being able to go to the NCAA tournament. Do you think
to be on good side?
Hey, hold on, let me.
I guess. Hold on, everybody else. Off.
Yeah, everybody.
I guess to be on good side, you're automatically assuming just because if Maker leaves, they won't get another recruit. So, and make what Maker's saying, if I go there, then maybe next year somebody else would come here regardless if I stay or not.
Hey, hold on. How you know that's what I'm assuming if you didn't let me finish? I'm curious.
Because you said Maker leaves, because you said Maker leaves and then they don't make the tournament next year. That's exactly what you said.
I didn't finish what I was saying, so you don't know. That's why you generally let people finish their initial thought before you interrupt them and start trying to tell them what they were going to think, because you don't know what they're going to say.
Hindsight, now you can say you was about to say that when we all know you wasn't.
Let me ask you this. When he made his
tell me how you know I was about to say that. I'm curious.
I don't know what about to say.
Hey, I said, man, you can say you was about to say that.
Real quick, when he made his announcement via Twitter and said he was going to Howard, didn't he mention Mikey Williams, the young kid?
Yeah.
He said he hopes that me going there will make him come next year. Now, I'm thinking that he's already in the mindset of what LJ was saying, like, I'm going to stay so I can get somebody else to come next year. Like, that's that. Go ahead, my fault, LJ. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Tweet.
Now, because I'm like, if he doesn't stay, I ain't going to say guarantee. Like I said, because I don't know Mikey Williams. I don't know. I ain't never seen a kid play or not. Obviously, he's pretty good if he want him to come join. My thing is this. If he's the incentive, if Michael Maker is the incentive to go to Howard and he jumps to the NBA, why would Mikey Williams choose Howard again? Like, why would he go there?
And let's also understand that Mikey Williams is going to be a sophomore this year. He's not going to college anytime soon.
Oh, he getting after to be a sophomore?
Yeah, he's about to be a sophomore.
Oh, okay. Okay, see, I don't know the kids.
Yeah. He's not going to college anytime soon. So that's part of it. Let me finish up my point that I was going to say was the problem, like, if you cannot consistently get one and done, or if you cannot consistently get those kids in there and build a consistent program, at some point, kids are going to want to go. This is my opinion. Kids are going to want to go to programs that win. If you look at it, the teams that kids consistently go every year. What the hell is the noise?
Is that Malcolm? Yeah, bro, your nose sound like a dragon over there, bro. Yeah, I can sit out with that.
If you look at the programs where they get the top recruits year in and year out and have the best recruiting classes, what is the one thing that they all have in common besides getting these top recruits is they all have a long, long, long history of being winning programs. So not only do they produce great players, but they have long histories of being winning programs. You can go across the college basketball map and find teams that have put out quality NBA players or even here and there grabbed top recruits. For example, Malcolm, this is before your time, Tweety, you may remember Greg. I know you know who I'm going to talk about. Larry Hughes went to St. Louis. And he was a top – he was very good in the NBA for a long time, or a pretty good player in the NBA for a long time.
How the fuck is Larry Hughes before my time?
He might have been. God, Lee, are you special, Ed?
No, you said Malcolm, this is before your time, and then you said Tweety, this might have been.
He said Malcolm, this might be before your time.
I said Malcolm, it might have been before your time. I said, Tweety, you might not remember this guy. I knew Greg did because me and Greg was in high school at the same time talking about Larry Hughes. So I knew Greg was the only one for sure. Who knew who I was talking about in that situation.
Right, right.
But my point being, he was a top-level recruit. He was one and done. And then St. Louis went back out of the spotlight. And that's why I'm saying it's so critical. They have to get a mixture of the top-level players and maybe some four-star recruits that are going to come in and be able to build their programs. If they're just going to rely on one-and-done kids, is in my opinion, not going to work, because at some point, right, guys are going to stop going, because if I'm going to go to college, at least let me have a chance to win a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
At least let me experience that March Madness. You know what I'm saying? At least let me experience that. That's my view on it. So that's what I was gonna say, Malcolm. Not whatever you said about I ain't remember.
Other recruits coming. So you don't think? Okay, so Malcolm, you don't think it's gonna have a negative effect at all if you're one and done?
No, in the long run, I just don't think. Like, kids that's in the top 20 going to be choosing to go to college regardless to play basketball. That's all I'm saying.
But somebody still got to go to play college to play basketball. And
I said the top.
Okay,
recruits.
So you believe, even though this has never happened in the history of the NBA, that 20 high schoolers are going to get drafted?
No, I said they're not going to be going to college. Now, there's other avenue. They can go overseas. Like, we're starting to see more and more choose that avenue. I'm just saying, I think they're going to stop. College basketball is going to change, is what I'm saying.
overseas.
Not. Who said more and more. How many people went overseas this year instead of going to college that we know about?
Two or three, right?
Five. I know about the ball kid. What I'm saying is he's not been gone.
Hold on, Tweety. Let him name the five. He said five.
Go ahead.
I don't remember the names off the top of my head.
You don't know about.
I remember seeing the stories.
I remember seeing the stories. I knew he was gonna lose his mind.
I remember seeing the stories. So you was in the third the other day talking about making with a top recruit. So you don't even know what you be talking about.
As soon as I said that, I corrected it because I said that I thought that he was in a different class. Because I didn't realize that.
You don't know what you're talking about.
No, I didn't know. I had never heard it. I had heard his name, but I thought he was still in high school going.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I did a little bit more research. I was like, "Why I don't see his name in here?" Oh, he.
What you want me to do? Grab my phone and look at the names now. I ain't got that kind of time.
As I've always. If you know what you're talking about, at least give us a couple of names. That's all I'm
saying. I can't think of nobody.
Don't just throw it out. A lot of kids
been
going.
Some
I didn't say a lot. I said more and more.
Okay, more and more. Well, tell us who.
God damn it. Well, I swear. I know I'm the best on the fucking show. Because y'all always, every time I make an argument, y'all all gang up on me. So I know I'm the greatest. That's how I know it's lonely as the top.
I just need to hear not just say that.
Who gang? I just want to know you. Tell me who went to what high school player skipped the NBA skipped college last year to go either. I mean, they didn't have the option to go to the G League last year, but went overseas.
I said I can't think of their damn. Are you deaf? I just said I can't think of their name.
You can't think of the names, but everybody else, even though they don't agree with you, can think of some names. That's why.
Okay, name Cincinnati starting backup.
Huh?
How you gonna have a starting backup?
Tweety froze.
No, you froze.
Yeah, the pod.
Oh, okay, I'm froze on there. All right, my bad. No, I was looking at something. I was actually trying to see who I'll skip college to go, you know, overseas. That's probably why my screen froze. My bad.
Who you see, Tweety?
I think you were three this
time. I'm finna freeze again. RJ Hampton.
Hello, Bob.
RJ Hampton.
It was one.
RJ Hampton, Billy Preston, LeAngelo Ball, and Brian Bowen.
And how many did I say?
LeAngelo Ball got thrown out of school.
I mean, that was his fault though. Like, I mean, but not, I didn't count him, bro. Like, I didn't count. That was just one of the players that they threw out there. Like, he was one of the folks. But that was more of his daddy doing though, right? If I'm not mistaken, that was the whole about the ball of big brown of brand shit.
Right.
I don't think that's an attractive as route as you're trying to make it to be, Malcolm. Players ain't trying to go to Israel and China and Yugoslavia, bro. They just not trying to.
like you say, because LeAngelo Ball went there because he couldn't go to college and he gonna get paid.
So why did Brandon Jennings go?
Because he got paid.
He got guaranteed $1 million.
Okay, all of them gonna get paid.
Brandon Jennings did.
Nah, everybody didn't get paid.
He couldn't get
paid. Brandon Jennings went, LJ?
He went because he couldn't get into college.
Okay, all right. That's a different thing then.
That's why he ended up going overseas. He couldn't get into college.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know why he went overseas. I just thought he didn't want to go to college. LJ said he couldn't get into college. So that's a whole different subject, bro. Like, it one thing to be like, I don't want to go. It's another thing when they close the door on your head. Like, no.
Right.
But, I don't think the overseas is going to be as prevalent as it is now because of the top players able to play basketball here and get paid. The reason why they went over there was because they wanted to get paid and there wasn't no league they can play here and get paid.
Okay, so what are they going to get paid here?
The G League just opened. Come on, Malcolm.
I know that.
Again,
you didn't Malcolm, even make my argument.
Once again, like LJ said. You said the top 20 players probably won't go to college. Where the other 15 going?
If Maker goes to the G League, he probably getting a 60.
If Maker go to the G League at this point, he wrong.
I think them elite contracts in G League, I think they six figures.
No, yeah, they six figures, bro. Like, they paying them.
I think it's only a one-year contract.
That's exactly what it is, AJ. It's a one-year contract. But they are paying them because if you come with, like, $50,000, that's not really taking the allure from going overseas because Australia paying you millions.
Right.
Like, that's not going to take that allure. But if you're giving me at least close to that, and I can get my name here and keep my name relevant to where people can see me, I can still build my draft status.
And too, Malcolm, you got to keep in mind, a lot of them leagues overseas, they have limits on American players. Like, you can only have, like, a two American players on the roster. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Malcolm, is that the pose of the defeated? Like, what's going on over there, bro?
No, it's the pose of y'all boring me. Y'all telling me I'm wrong, but then y'all give me arguments about what I just said.
What,
so y'all not making sense to me.
Who is y'all? I just asked you, other people
and then y'all make it, and then y'all making my, 20. Y'all making my point.
I said the top five might go to the G League. Like, we saying the top players might go to the G League. You said the top 20.
Don't say y'all. You said the top 20. Be specific. Don't say y'all.
Because my thing is, I'm not disagreeing with you that some of the top players are going to go G League. What I'm saying is, you said the top 20. That ain't happening, bro. That ain't happening.
They as not of right now, 20. No. But the G League can expand their league. I'm not talking about tomorrow.
Now you're going by the hypotheticals. No. I'm talking about what's going on right now.
At the very beginning of my argument, I said it's not going to matter in the long run. I said that was the very first thing that came out of my mind.
Are you watching the main Red Claws play? Are you watching the main Red Claws game? Why in the hell are they going to expand? No. Why? Why would they expand?
Why would the top players go there?
I mean, the top players going to go there in the hopes of trying to get some money, but I'm just saying it's not that many.
All right, they're going to expand the hope to make their league bigger.
I don't think so. I don't think that's smart business sense for the NBA.
It's like you saying you're not going to take a top-level client because you don't want that exposure.
I mean, I actually will turn down some cases if I feel like what I got currently is enough. Yeah, I will.
You think Z League can get that enough? Do you think they got enough?
They actually gotten smaller, if my memory serves.
Right.
You said the G League got smaller?
I think they did. They got rid of some of their franchises. They did.
Even before the pandemic hit, I think they had
They did. They downsized some.
I don't watch the G League at all.
Right. It's got to be like nothing on TV at all. I watch it before basketball, though. And baseball. I think
as far as the original question goes, I think he needs to stay there longer than a one and done, man. I'm like AJ. If you stay there longer, you have a better chance of attracting better talent. Whereas if you leave, Howard would probably just – you know, like he said, go back to being Howard, bro. Like, and basketball-wise, it's not a good thing for them.
And I add one more point to it. I think the key is recruiting class. I think that's the key. I mean, you want to get like that. I think for the HBCUs, it's obviously a great thing to get like that big name or a guy who is like highly ranked in their class. Right? Mm-hmm. But I think they have to have solid recruiting classes around those guys. So maybe you get a top level guy and then you get another, you know, some four stars, some three stars who probably gonna need 2 or 3 years in college before they can even really, before talent wise, they'll probably even be able, really legitimately be able to consider going to the NBA. And then that way you're able to build your program for one and done, but you're able to build a foundation for one and done and say, hey, we still have a good program that you can come in and have an opportunity to win in, but we also have a program that can prepare you to be able to be a one and done player if you have that, you know what I'm saying, that skill set, if you're able to do that. Y'all wildin', man. Tweeted B Malcolm in the submission.
Who? Nah, tweeted like arguing against me and then making my points. It didn't make sense.
I never made your point, Malcolm. That's how I know I never made your point, bro. Like, I never made your point.
It's not in the best interest of the G to send more players to, but they're downsizing. I ain't never know the company wanted to downsize.
You ain't making no money.
I'm saying
you wasting money. You start downsizing.
Yeah, like okay, when your league is costing you money.
I mean, they want to.
Bro.
I know why they did it. That don't mean they wanted to do it.
But I guess my thing, like, they really doing that so they don't have to watch their players go overseas to play. I don't think they really cared about the eyes themselves, like our eyes focused on G League ball. They care about their eyes focused on these players in G League ball, not the public. So I don't think they really, like you say, like, well, I think Greg asked me, what's Howard's goal for getting him? What's the G League's goal for opening up these players? You assume that it's to just make the league grow. I'm really thinking about it that they can get better eyes on the talent that's American grown instead of having to fly overseas to watch them play. And I really do think it's just as simple as that.
Wow, that was wild. I just heard something.
No.
Wait, I had a question that I wanted to ask y'all. Yeah, and I just totally forgot what it was. My dog just came running up in my room. I mean, in my office. And what was my question? Tweety, what was my question? What was I about to ask y'all?
Don't ask me that. That's that man down there that know. They know everything about somebody about to say. That's why he started shaking his head. Look at him. He like, yeah, I already know what you're going
to ask. I already know what you about to ask, but I ain't going to tell you. I'm going to tell you after you say it. So then I'll say, yeah, that's what you're going to ask.
So have y'all seen that some of these NBA players are upset about, not upset.
That ain't what you about to ask.
They concerned about, I guess, some of the rules or restrictions or whatever that the NBA put out in their little guidelines or whatever for the bubble.
Like kind of like hanging out in the hotel and stuff like that.
I mean, I didn't watch what Dame was saying, but I know like DeMar DeRozan was saying he started reading it. Then after
Greg,
he was like. My bad.
Go ahead.
So much information, but Dame Lillard was saying he don't think that players gonna. He ain't certain that anybody gonna.
Follow I seen them say that. Yeah. I seen them say that.
I didn't read the. It was like 113 pages or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think basically what it was saying was that like they couldn't interact with each other, like you know doing like at the hotel like playing ping pong, you know, just stuff people normally do when they at like a camp. Only time they would really see each other is like on the court. So they was basically saying like, if it's okay for us to, you know, play against each other, why is it not okay for us to like be able to hang out afterwards? I think that's essentially what they were saying. But I didn't read the article, but I did see, I got a notification yesterday where I think it said like the NBA amended some of the rules, but I didn't click on it to read and see what they changed. But I think that's essentially what they were talking about though.
All right, man, I don't got nothing else. What else? We anything else we didn't cover y'all wanted to cover?
Nah.
We covered a lot. I do have a little rant because I seen something about this the other day. First off, shout out to Ed Howard. He was selected in the first round of the MLB draft. He's a black kid. He was actually part, if y'all remember, a few years ago, Lily World Series, the team from Chicago that was all black.
Got you.
He got drafted by the Cubs. So,
yeah.
Big shout out to him. So, the thing I saw the other day, I think it was on ESPN. It's not the first time it's been mentioned. It's mentioned a lot. But they're talking about, like, how to incorporate or how to get more blacks to play baseball and get them into the major leagues and stuff like that. And I'm tired of them putting it on Major League Baseball to do that. Because the argument used to be the reason why more blacks didn't play baseball because it was so expensive to play it, but you can't say that and now you're spending $700 a summer to have your kid play on a select basketball team. So obviously it's not too expensive. So my thing is, the first thing we do when we see a kid that's good or athletic, I should say, is say they're going to be a basketball or a football player. Now most kids do play baseball during the summer when they're young, but as they get older, it transitions to the focusing more on basketball or football. So my thing is, if you want a kid to play baseball, just introduce them to baseball. Take them to a baseball game instead of a basketball game. I don't think it's solely on the MLB to try to get more blacks to play baseball. And it's probably I wouldn't say the smartest thing to do, but baseball probably has the most player-friendly contracts because all their contracts are guaranteed. And you can typically last a little bit longer playing baseball than you can in other sports. So, I seen it the other day, and it kind of got on my nerves that it feels like we're still blaming the Major League Baseball for not having enough black people in it. And I don't think that's – part of it's probably true, but I don't think it's entirely their – should be entirely their mission to get more blacks to play baseball.
Who's – I hate to say
it was. I think it was first take. It was first take.
I didn't mean that. I don't want to say whose fault it is that there's not more blacks in baseball. And I think you kind of talked about why. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, who do you think has the ability to help get more blacks involved in baseball?
Like, I think it starts with the black community, because once you, like I said, most kids from like 4 to, I would say, 10 or probably 13 play baseball, right? But then we constantly tell them they're the next, Michael Vick, or the next Kobe Bryant, next Michael Jordan, next LeBron James. And we don't, tell them that they can be the next Ken Griffey. So they kind of lose interest because we kind of push them towards the other two sports, is what I'm saying now. It could be because baseball is not doing the greatest job of marketing their players, you know what I mean? But I think we don't look at baseball as an option like we do the NBA or the NFL. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I don't see that many black people playing youth baseball. I know we did when we was growing up for a little while.
That's what I'm saying. Like, most kids, they start, it's something that you start out playing, and then it kind of, as a young kid, and then it kind of gets phased out.
I wouldn't even say most, because I'll be honest with you, I don't see that many now, I'm going to speak specifically about the inner city. I didn't grow up in the suburbs, so I don't know. Ain't that many damn baseball diamonds in the hood.
You right about that, my boy.
To be honest with you, it ain't that many. And the other reason why, and again, like I said, I'm speaking for the inner city. The other reason why, in my opinion, people tend to navigate towards football and basketball is because you need less equipment, right? To really legitimately play baseball, you got to have a bat, a ball, and gloves, right? Even though, Tweety, we grew up playing, with like broomsticks and
right, whatever we could find.
Catching the ball with our
making calls, the bases and everything.
Everybody did that.
Go ahead, do your thing.
I was just saying that, I don't think it's I just think in the inner city, in particular, in the hood, baseball just ain't there. It just ain't no diamond. There ain't nowhere to play baseball. But we can – if one kid in the hood get a basketball, everybody can play basketball. If one kid in the hood get a football, everybody can play. To play football, all you need is a football.
It is all a group of people. You can make anything your football.
We don't play football in the street, everywhere.
So to your point, you can play baseball in the street too. You get what I'm saying? Like with a stick and a tennis ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I guess at the end of the day, you can play basketball by yourself. You can't play baseball by yourself.
Yeah.
You can't play baseball by yourself. You play basketball by yourself. Like, and I can't say the football thing, but you can actually work on football stuff by yourself. Like, unless you got at batting cage or something and swinging at a ball coming to you.
You don't need it. You can toss it up and hit it yourself, bro. This is like, now you coming equipment for baseball,
necessarily. Because give me one pitcher that's going to throw the ball at you and it's going to come right down on top of the plate. You're not really practicing. You practice hand-eye coordination, but you're not in basketball situation. Whereas if I'm a football player, I can pick up a piece of rock and get the running around and juke imaginary people, and I'm really still working on football skills. Like I'm really fine-tuning footwork.
Okay, you can't tackle though. You're not tackling.
Okay, you're right. I can't do everything by myself. You're right. Okay. And you say, and basketball, like the other sport, basketball. I can't defend by my damn self, but I can play basketball by myself, bro. But I can't do nothing in baseball by myself.
You said you can throw the ball up and hit the ball.
You're not playing baseball.
You can work on – I don't know baseball that well, so I probably shouldn't even really speak on it that well. But I know there's some baseball skills you can kind of work on by yourself. I mean, it may not be a direct simulation, but I guess, I mean, I know I grew up when you would mess around, you know what I'm saying? You're throwing a tennis ball off the wall, fielding it. That's just
right. You're right about that.
But that, I guess that. That's not the same. I don't really know. But I agree with you, Malcolm.
Right.
Like in terms of money, but that's not specific to baseball. And
I'm just saying that used to be an excuse along. Like,
yeah.
I said that wrong. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. What I meant to say is, or what I'm trying to say is, there's been this whole thing, there's been a big movement or a lot of talk in youth sports over the last few years that youth sports is more and more, they're pricing more income people out of sports, out of youth sports. That has been a big, in the youth sports world, if you follow that and all of that, that's been a thing that's been a huge topic over the last few years, is that they're pricing lower income kids out of youth sports, and it's become the haves versus the have-nots, or the talented versus
the none. Mm-hmm.
Right, because, you know, a talented kid can go to a suburban team or a sponsor team because of his or her talent, and even if they can't afford to play, they're going to be like, you good, versus who is, you know, can't afford to pay and doesn't have the talent, you know, now they priced out. I don't know. So, baseball.
I agree 1,000% with Malcolm as far as when he said whose responsibility is it. I do think it starts within the community first. But to say what Malcolm say, he don't know why they blaming MLB. I get it, but I think one reason why a lot of people tend to focus their blame on Major League Baseball or the professional level is because, like LJ said, it's not a lot of spots to play baseball. And even though that's not Major League's fault per se, you got people that don't really know that, and they just be like, man, shoot, they can – Major League can put some more baseball fields out here for the inner-city kids to play, and it's but like
– But they do. They have a – Major League has – I forgot the name of the program, but it's – the program is specifically designed to put baseball fields in the inner city, and they do it a lot. I'm not going to say – What would you say?
Say what?
I ain't never seen that in the hood.
I don't think the program has been around that long. I want to say it's been around maybe 10 years or something like that. I forgot the name of the program, but I'll send it to y'all later. Huh?
You said it ain't been around that long. You said 10 years. That's a long time.
In totality, it's not really that long. But I'm not – you making it sound like they haven't done any. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm sure they have done some, yeah.
They probably have done some, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is they have that program in place to what y'all said. You don't see it. They're putting them in inner cities, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're ignoring the problem, right?
Gotcha.
But when I said I didn't say they shouldn't take blame. I said because I said that they probably don't market their players good enough, and that has a lot to do with it. Yeah. Because if you don't, I guess. Most people know who LeBron James is, right? Whether they watch basketball or not, they know who LeBron James is. But if you don't really follow sports and you don't watch baseball, you're probably not going to know who Mike Trout is. So that's the one I'm trying to make.
Mike Trout, born in mayonnaise. I can't
see, that's my point. But, okay, that's marketability.
I missed the comment.
That's marketability.
Malcolm on that point. Tim Duncan was very boring. But people knew who Tim Duncan was. Like, he was very boring. Yeah. But people knew who he was because of how basketball market they played.
I mean, ain't shit exciting about Kobe Bryant. But a lot of people know who the hell Kobe Bryant is. You know what I'm saying?
Did you just say it wasn't nothing exciting about Kobe Bryant?
Like, his outside life, bro, is one of
them. Oh,
like,
okay.
Outside
okay.
of basketball.
All right. Okay.
Come on, bro. You know I ain't gonna die with a man like that. Come on now.
I was like, what?
When that dude on Moesha and had a rap album and all this other stuff.
You brought up his rap album.
And boy, bro.
Thanks, so 88
what copies. What you say, AJ? What you say, AJ?
He also snitched on Shaq. Well, Shaq do it. Hold on, man. He read up my name, man.
Anyway,
oh, man.
Like Peyton Manning, bro. Like Peyton Manning, like a lot of people know who Peyton Manning is because he has all these different commercials and stuff like that.
But that ain't marketing, is it?
Huh?
Mike Trout has Subway commercials.
Did he? He did, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, nobody watched baseball, though. You didn't know because you don't watch baseball.
That's what I just – ain't that what I just said? That's exactly what I just said.
I mean, but I do think if they marketed their players better, they probably could get more casual eyes. Like I might be wrong, but I do think if they marketed their players a lot better, they probably could get casual eyes. Because, okay, I can't generalize everybody, but I do know a couple of people as females anyway, like that don't know really much about football, but will watch football because they know who Zeke is or they like Dak. And or it ain't like they know nothing about football, but the fact that they seen these people on TV or like, well, it used to be Antonio Brown, but like he ain't really doing it. But it's like if you on TV, you are really like, or if you get promoted a lot, you're more open to the casual fan just catching the eye and be like, oh, who is that? I like that person. I like their personality on this commercial. Some small. And what do they do? Baseball player. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a whole new baseball fandom, but that whole casual that might watch during the World Series or something like that, you might catch them, like, you know, versus not if you don't have them, like, on TV, you know.
But, Tweety, would you say that is the NFL marketing those players, or that is – the players getting like commercials outside of you know, their contracts, and two, the coverage that they get from different networks? Because I mean, like, if you think about
that's
it,
that's a good question.
There's not the baseball is on more than any other sport.
You're right about that.
People just don't watch.
Tweety, that goes back to the local thing. That goes back to the local thing versus the national thing. They're on.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
I'm listening.
In totality, they are on more than any other sport. But
people,
The Colorado Rockies are not on. It's not showing up on Dallas networks every day. They're showing up in Colorado. They're not showing up in Dallas.
That's every professional team.
No.
Yes.
It's not.
It is.
Yeah, because I can kind of agree with Edge on that one as far as he let go football. That second game, like, okay, the game of the week, everybody might watch that. But that morning game, that's your local market. Like, San Francisco playing against Seattle, they're not watching Dallas versus New York. They watching Seattle versus San Francisco. Like, sport has a local TV market that they play.
They do. They do. But in California, guess who was on my channel every morning? At 10 o'clock in the morning, guess who I
– either the Dodgers or the A's.
No, I'm talking football. Football.
Oh. Proud of Cowboys.
Thank you. My point exactly.
I'm gonna shut you down right.
But go ahead.
So you lived in California. I've lived in Texas. I've lived in New Mexico. I lived in Georgia. I lived in Virginia. I lived in Indiana. I lived in Colorado. The Cowboys are playing a game of the week. You cannot watch a game. You're not gonna see the Cowboys in any of those networks.
Okay.
Any of those markets, unless they're playing a game of the week, or unless they're playing the team that's in that city. So whether they're playing the Broncos or the Colts, you're not watching the
Cowboys. No, the reason why I was able to watch because LA teams don't play that early.
Okay, but I'm just
they don't come on. They don't come on 1:15.
I'm just telling you.
I guess that's different.
Nobody watches baseball because it's regional. But I'm telling you, when you go to the NBA, there's no Cavaliers games on in any of those markets unless they're playing those teams. There's no Bulls games on in any of those markets. Unless they're playing those teams or they're playing on the national stage.
I would say probably football is the only sport where most people are just watching whatever Sunday night game it is. I don't think that's the case for basketball. Like for the Sunday showcase, if it's like Christmas, right? Say it's the Bucks versus the Sixers. I don't think most people are watching that game. It might be on, but I don't think a lot of people are sitting down watching it.
They may not be, but my point is like you saying that baseball is regional because you can only view regional teams. I'm saying it's like that for every sport. Like baseball has national.
No, I'm saying when I say they're regional, I'm saying like most Texas Rangers fans can't name four people off the LA Angels team, and they in the same damn division is what I'm saying. That's what I mean by regional. Like, baseball, more people follow just the team that they like. And I guess to the point of the Rangers fans, most of them don't even follow the Rangers unless they win it.
What about people just don't like baseball?
That could be true. But what I'm saying is there's not – like, okay, so most basketball fans, right, if they watch the NBA, they know Steph Curry, they know Dame Lillard, they know Paul George, they know Kawhi Leonard, they know LeBron James, they know, like, all the, you know, top one or two players on each team, right? I will bet that most people that watch baseball probably can't name two people off every team in the major leagues, is what I'm saying. Like, the difference in marketability that the other leagues have is what I'm saying. Because, Tweety, you watch a little bit of baseball. Can you name?
Right.
Maybe people just don't like baseball. Maybe that's
you're still skipping over the point I just said. Baseball people that watch baseball. I just said that.
Okay, baseball.
Can't name.
Okay, go ahead.
Can't name the top players on every team. I can because I watch a little bit more than everybody else. But I'm saying baseball. Most baseball people only follow their team. They don't watch it nationally. They watch their team locally. Is what I'm saying.
You think that. You believe that outside of baseball, if you get to the NBA, that all of a sudden NBA fans in these particular markets all of a sudden are fans and watch every NBA team?
No, they're keep
up with the league.
They will watch. I use canal. I couldn't even say.
Or keep up with the league as a whole more.
Yeah, or with players, not necessarily a whole another team, but like they would know. Like if you ask a Dallas Mavericks fan. Who plays for Minnesota Timberwolves, a lot of people might be able to say Carl Anthony Towns. You get what I'm saying? Versus if you ask a Texas Ranger fan who plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they'd be like, Andrew McCutchen? Like, bro, he ain't played in 3 years.
I feel where you're going.
Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, I think people just don't like baseball.
You still – I understand that point that you made, but you're glossing over the fact where I said people that watch baseball. You're ignoring that I'm saying that.
Yeah, no, I understand that you're saying that. People that watch baseball, I think sports or a lot of sports are local in general. In way people, I mean, that has been my experience. Is that, like I said, when you go, if you go to Denver,
I guess there's probably a lot of Cowboy fans in Indiana. I would assume.
No,
right?
I mean, I haven't seen that. I'm not saying that there's not. I'm saying that I have not seen that. Because they don't show the Cowboys up here.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's like a Sunday night game or that like
game of the week shit.
Yeah, something like that. They don't show the Cowboys game.
Because I will say that. Oh, my fault. Go ahead, AJ.
No, I was just saying people going to watch. And it was the same thing when I lived in Colorado.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing when I was in Kansas. If it wasn't the Chiefs or anybody that was close to the state of Kansas – yeah, that's the only time I got to watch the Cowboys playing. Because other than that, yeah, if it was anybody remotely close, I couldn't watch the Cowboys. Like, it was somebody that was, you know, like the Rams or the Chiefs or somebody like that. There's a lot of people that localize their sports. But I guess to argue in Malcolm's defense, baseball did make the second most money last year as far as viewership and merchandising sales. So I don't know how that happened. And you know, y'all ain't no eyes on it. Like, I don't know. I might be wrong. I don't.
You should wrap it up. We've been going for like 3 hours down there. 2 hours.
Oh, damn.
Sure. Oh, Malcolm, you close it out, man. I don't even know where all this going to be posted at.
YouTube channel, The Sports Crew. We post it on Facebook, too. And you can catch us on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
But you got
anywhere.
Name that they got to look for.
Big Mac. Goddamn.
You said what?
You got to tell them the name
of the things on.
I just said The Sports Crew, bro. God.
Is that on Spotify listening? Too?
That's not what it is on Spotify, is it?
Yeah, it will be.
Right on. Dude over there.
Because Greg didn't watch